Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Is it really 40 years ago, this past Valentine's Day, that you and I shared this microphone?
It was a Thursday night, 40 years ago, and then the following Saturday, we did a show together. A whole show.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
I don't know if we can make everything all right, but we'll try to take your mind off of...
A whole lot. We'll try.
So, the backstory is, I started on WGN on Christmas Eve of 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day, 1985, Dan Fabian, who was known to many as the Memo Fairy.
The boss man.
He was then the program director. And he'd always wanted to have a male-female show. He tried with Catherine Cataline and Michael Feldman, and that really didn't work out.
That was the proverbial oil and water?
Yeah.
Right?
And literally fights in the hall.
Yes.
So he said, okay, why don't you fill in? I forget who I was filling in for, but it was a Thursday evening. It was a Valentine's Day.
7 to 9 shift.
He said, let's have Johnny surprise you for Valentine's Day.
You know, being newlyweds and all.
Yeah.
This would be your first Valentine's married. And we said, oh, that's true. I was working at another radio station, and he was...
What was that? It's now The Mix. It was then WCLR.
He was nice enough to call the bosses over there and ask them if it was okay, and they said, sure.
You were doing traffic over there.
Yeah, they said, cool. So I waited out in the hall until he decided the moment that I should pop in on you, even though we'd driven to the station together over on Bradley Place, and he opened the door and put his hand on my back and pushed me in. I was like, oh, okay, the show is on. And then you acted, oh,
I'm surprised. I thought it was a different blonde that I drove down to the radio station with.
And I kind of remembered it was Valentine's Day, but I sure didn't expect to see you popping into the studio. And so I stayed for that hour with you.
Well, you stayed for the rest of the show.
Right. It was about an hour. I think you'd been busy while I was out in the halls tapping my toe going, okay, when? He said, I'll tell you when. And literally put his hand on my back and pushed me into the studio.
And then after the show that night, we celebrated. We went up to Houlihan's in Old Orchard,
yes.
And we had the best chocolate cake that anyone ever had.
Wasn't it like four or five layers?
Oh, it was. It was huge.
Mocha chocolate.
Yeah.
And then they served it with Häagen-Dazs chocolate chip ice cream.
Yep.
So it was like four or five layer, very moist cake. The slice of cake was like the size of your head. It was so good, but it was so perfect to celebrate with a big old piece of cake. And we just went, okay, well, we just did that. And
I don't remember if it was the following Saturday, but very shortly after that, Dan Fabian said, okay, how about we try this thing as a regular Saturday night thing?
Yeah. My recollection is it was the next Saturday.
It could have been.
And then we enjoyed hanging out on Saturday nights like we do now, where we would, I think we started at 7.
Yeah,
like
that
7
right.
to midnight
yeah.
on Saturday nights. And we did that for about...
And you know what we have to do tonight? To remember that, we have to play the song that was our theme song on that Saturday night, since we were doing weekends.
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
You're
kidding.
Well,
it was 40 freaking years ago.
You're kidding. You don't remember what was our theme song?
It wasn't Wet Willie.
Yeah, it was.
It was?
It were.
Wow. Okay, Weekend. A great song.
Yeah.
We sold a few copies of that song for them. We still do. We still have people asking us about that song that we used to play, because ultimately we started playing it on Friday mornings.
Right.
In the 4 o'clock hour, saying it's the weekend, it was our weekend. So
that chortling you heard was Ron,
the master of the.
You guys are cracking me up. I love the happy anniversary, by the way.
Well, thank you. 40 years.
As we start our second 40 years.
That's right.
Let's see. So I would be, by the end of our next 40 years, I would be 121.
Hey, you know, modern medicine, it's possible.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a good driver. I'll drive you down. It'll be okay.
I may have to... That Wet Willie song? Does that Keep On Smiling? Is that what we're talking about?
No, it was Weekend.
Out of this commercial break, we'll play a little bit of Wet Willie.
Yes, Weekend.
I think he's still... I don't know, that's not his real name, but believe it or not. But I think they're still playing. The band is still playing.
Oh, yeah.
The band is still playing. In fact, one of the guys who was, I believe, the bass player with Wet Willie used to own a music store in Panama City, Florida. I bought a guitar from him.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's still with the group, but they were, I believe they were based out of Atlanta, I think.
Georgia. That's what came to my mind. Yeah.
And I recently saw a double bill, Pablo Cruz. Remember Pablo Cruz? I love Pablo Cruz. And I understand it's the original members, and I think that Wet Willie was on that same bill with it.
Well, that'd be a great show.
Might have been one of those 70s rock cruises.
Yeah.
Where that would be a terrific show. Well, Ron, while you're here, can you repeat that awful story out of Skokie and Evanston? Unbelievable. We were just looking at the monitors, more of the video coming out of there. The man that's walking around, walking in garbage cans. He's got a white garbage can on each foot, and it goes well up over his knees because the water was so deep.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. So right now that we've got that boil order has been lifted in Northwest Evanston, because it stretched all the way out to there.
Right. Yeah.
So they can, you know, the water from the tap is okay. To drink and to take baths and to shower in. You don't have to boil it anymore. But Skokie boil order remains into effect until tomorrow night. So it was just amazing the amount of water that came out of that.
Johnny and I were talking as we were driving in tonight. Apparently, there are any of a number of people whose cars have been totaled.
That's it.
because they were out on the streets. The water came up into the engine
over
and everything.
Their wheels.
And the cars are just totaled.
Yeah, and they'd sat there, and they couldn't do a darn thing about it. And how many basements are flooded?
Oh.
And then I was reading that if you are living with this boil order, probably best to sponge bath your babies because you don't want them to get any water in their mouths.
Well, and also, as cold as it's going to be over the next couple of days, what about pipes freezing?
And, because there's no water flowing through them.
Again, it's a really big problem.
It is.
One other thought.
Yes.
We are huge newspaper fans. Always have been, always will be. Shame on you, Chicago Tribune. Saturday morning, papers come out. Sun-Times, big story, all about Skokie.
All kinds of pictures, too.
Tribune, not one bleeping word.
Nothing.
A huge story.
Nothing.
And I know you can say, you can say, oh, well, they're printing it. No, this happened.
5:15
a.m.
On Friday morning. There is zero excuse for the Tribune not doing that.
Bottom of the fold of the Tribune, probably a delightful story. The woman that's raising pigs that were going to be euthanized. She's got a mess of pigs living in her house. I'm like,
that's a very nice
great.
Feature story that they probably planned a week ago.
Oh. I couldn't believe it. You had
shame on
them. You said, go through the paper. What am I missing? And I said, there's not a word. There's not an inch. There's nothing there. Now, again, these are papers delivered to the house. So, yes, they went to press. It's probably sometime around midnight last night.
But who cares? It broke 5 o'clock Friday morning.
Crazy. Oh, well, now I'm really ticked off.
Yeah.
I'm mad for those people.
And we didn't even get to Doge, which we're going to do later tonight.
Oh, great.
That was a nice spanking right there to start off the show.
Well, it's one of those anniversary things.
Oh, jeez. Real quick, 40 years ago, what do you think the average life expectancy was? I'm going to do a round robin. Bob Fukuda's in the studio, too. Keep her the big plug. Average life expectancy.
Ron, 76.
76. Ron, what do you think?
Men and women together or just men or just women?
Just says life expectancy in general 40 years ago.
I'll just go a little bit higher. Maybe 78. But in the 70s,
yes.
I would think.
In the 70s. I was really shocked. The average life expectancy in 1985 was 74.7 years.
Wow.
That's depressing, too.
That's a young man anymore.
Yeah.
If you're asking me.
Right.
Very young man.
Wow. And eggs were supposedly, and none of us remember eggs being 80 cents a dozen. Now, granted, it was 40 years ago, but I never can recall eggs being 80 cents a dozen. Doesn't that sound crazy?
Yeah.
No, the crazy story.
And what was the price of bacon?
Yeah, $1.50 a... Really? Speaking of
the
crazy.
Milk price, though.
Milk.
That's the killer.
$1.19 a gallon. What?
Wow.
Speaking of eggs, I could not believe the story you read in the news. Eggs being sold individually, bags of three.
In three, yeah, because you can't afford a full dozen. It's amazing. I saw that they were $10 here just recently. Maybe it was more than 10, but $10 was the first in some sense. And when I went to the store last time to pick up some eggs, there was a woman who was there. She was taking four cartons, four dozen. And I just thought, are you going to really eat four dozen eggs in a week or...
hoarding
probably
them.
Not. It's hoarding. And I know the prices are likely to go up, but,
Now, Ron, she was probably having a Cool Hand Luke festival. needed the eggs.
Was it 50 eggs?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great scene.
I
was just checking my bill from yesterday from the Jewels. And it looked like my dozen of eggs, nothing special, because there weren't a lot of choices. So I got what was available to me at $5.49 a dozen.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was terrible.
It's high, when you're used to paying, $2.50 or $3 a dozen.
Yeah.
It's high. And I don't expect, like, next week they're going to go up, $2. I mean, they'll go up some, but... I just don't expect it to be so high that you have to hoard. And that mentality just kind of gets me. Yeah.
Well, the scary thing is when somebody pulls up in a grocery store parking lot and kind of quietly says to you, you need eggs? And they pop the trunk.
And you're in trouble.
Yeah, really. A whole heap of trouble.
Yep.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, buckle up. Turn it up to the threshold of pain. First time I heard this was on this radio station. It was on a Saturday night, and Floyd Brown played it, and it was Wet Willie. And that's the song we used for our first theme song. We started on this radio station on Saturday nights.
Yep.
Still sounds great. I love that.
It does. I don't want to go on a cruise to see them, but I'd love to see them sometime.
I would really. I think a lot of the members are still around.
Yeah, I was checking. And in fact, you're right.
You guys were ahead of your time, yacht rocking before anybody was really yacht rocking.
Before we even knew that was a term.
It's a big thing now. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Yeah, Rod, you have to listen to the album version of that. It goes about, I want to say, about 6 or 7 minutes.
It's
and it
a jam.
It is just wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, it's underappreciated. I mean, we took it took it for granted at the time, but now there's a lot of people going to that yacht rock stuff. Yeah. There's a great documentary. I think it was on Netflix, but I'm not sure on the yacht rock.
I just read a couple of reviews and people were raving about it.
Yeah.
And did you happen to tune into if you got Peacock? It was Friday night, but Saturday night, the Saturday Night Live music special.
I've seen that. Yes, that's amazing.
Oh, Landecker said it's the best thing he's seen on TV in a very long time.
Yeah.
And a little later, we're going to be talking with Gino Salamone, our Hollywood insider, about the Saturday Night Live special that's going to be airing on NBC Sunday night.
Right.
And also, he's going to share some thoughts with us about there's a special that I wasn't aware of. It's all about Sly Stone.
Oh, it's great.
And Questlove is one of the producers of it.
You've seen it?
I've only watched about the first, because I was just leaving the house. I was like, oh, what's this?
Oh.
I watched about 15 minutes, and I did not want to tear myself away, because I love Sly Stone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a well-done documentary. There were some things that I learned in that 15 minutes, and I know a lot about Sly Stone. Like I said, I've been a fan for a long time, and I didn't know. And I was like, fantastic. I love learning new stuff.
What was his Chicago story? He was supposed to
play Chicago? Well, remember, he was supposed to play Chicago, and I forget if it was for a 4th of July. This would have been in the late 60s, early 70s, and he didn't show. And I believe there were near riots around Grant Park.
Hmm.
And Sly is a classic example of an absolute genius.
Genius. They keep bringing that up. Yeah.
Who destroyed his mind on drugs.
Yeah.
I make a real parallel with Sly Stone and Brian Wilson.
Mm.
The two of them at the peak of their creativity, the best.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, they both did a lot to damage their own careers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sly was performing with family members. And Gino will tell us about the fact that he became friends with family members like Sly's sister and other members of the band.
Sly was originally a West Coast disc jockey.
Disc jockey in San Francisco.
Right? Yeah.
And a producer.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if he had that big hair that he had to put headphones over.
No.
I used to worry about that. I thought, no wonder women were not in radio back in the 60s because their hair was so big they couldn't wear headphones.
So a little later, we're going to talk about that with Gino. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by John Davis, the host of TV's Motor Week. We're going to talk about the 2025 Driver's Choice Awards. A little later tonight, while this is not the night we would normally have Patrick Crispin on with us, he's going to drop in for a few minutes and talk about some of the stuff that's going on with the Doge website and TikTok. And then Tom Appel will be joining us, and we'll talk about road tests and recalls and who knows what else.
A lot of good stuff. And, yes, we will have a shout-out tonight. Somebody wanted to know because they missed it the last few weeks. We will do that tonight. We've got some new people tuned in. Some new states have checked in tonight. But right now we're going to take a break here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We were talking about how this weekend we're celebrating our 40th anniversary as a team on this radio station. Well, it was longer than 40 years ago that you first started hearing that theme on TV.
Right.
For the longest running automotive series and our favorite automotive series, Motor Week.
Absolutely. And the guy that's behind Motor Week, he's the producer, the host, and the creator, and he wears a mean blue jacket. He's our buddy, John Davis. How are you, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, Steve. Thank you. And by the way, let me add my congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
I think we probably got together back when we were celebrating our 20th anniversary on this radio station.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. All those nights I would trudge over to the WGN building at about 11:30 in the evening,
yes.
The night before the press day at Chicago Auto Show. I remember them well. It's not much warmer than that here in Maryland tonight, I'll tell you that.
Well, I remember you would come in, you say, oh, I get to sit down. I have walked so much today. Well, you were
By
here.
By the way, you looked great on the TV show on Channel 9 this year, too.
Oh, thank you. They were very nice to give me a little bit, and we got a chance to talk about some of the new stuff that had just popped up that day at the media day for Chicago Auto Show, and it was fun, as always.
Well, before we get to the Driver's Choice Awards for this year, and that's something we look forward to talking to you about every year, you were at the auto show. This is the last weekend of the show.
Yes.
It closes up on President's Day on Monday. Were you surprised at the number of EVs that were on the floor?
Well, I guess I'm not because we follow them so closely, but I'm sure that people that haven't been to the show in a few years, they have to be surprised. And, you know, a lot of them are brand new with unusual names, and then there's some familiar names as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, just because the focus might be turning away from EVs, it doesn't mean that the automakers are not going to continue to build new ones, because they're global companies and there's a global market for these very efficient vehicles, and they've come a long way in, oh, really, even just the last 5 years.
Well, let's zero in on your category for Best EV in the Motor Week Driver's Choice Awards for 2025. What were the vehicles that you chose?
Well, one is the Chevrolet Equinox EV,
mm-hmm.
and while this has a familiar name, being an Equinox, it's a totally different compact SUV than the gas-powered one, and we singled it out because it's the first, how can I put this, the first really affordable, roomy EV with over 300 miles of range, whether you get the front-wheel drive model or the all-wheel drive model. And if you are going to be able to get by with front-wheel drive, you can buy it for about a little bit under $35,000, and that's before any incentives. So it really kind of broke the mileage barrier, and it also broke the price barrier. But inside, it just wowed us at how nice it was and how common sense it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a combination of both benchmarks and the fact they just did a really nice job with it. And it's very good looking.
Yeah, that kind of price point for that kind of quality, that they really scored.
Yes, they did. And you can look, actually, if you go over and look at the Chevy stand and you look at the gas-powered Equinox, it's also new this year, and it's equally as nice.
Hmm.
It just, you know, so they've managed to take that name Equinox and mean something really special, mm-hmm. regardless of how you want it powered.
Well, I think you also included in that category best of the Volkswagen Buzz, the ID Buzz.
The ID Buzz.
It's so cute.
Reincarnation.
I love
this. The Volkswagen Buzz.
Yes.
We've been seeing prototypes of this for, I think, 5 or 7 years. It's finally here. Have you had a chance to see it?
No.
No, not yet, but we can't wait.
You know, again, the range isn't what it we'd like it to be. It's about 240 miles of range, but it's huge on the inside. It's really more of an SUV that looks like a minivan than a pure minivan because of the way it's laid out. Extremely modern inside, lots of fun to drive. Everywhere you go, people are just, you know, it's a real head-turner. I'm glad Volkswagen did it, and I'm glad they did such a great job. So it was kind of a natural for our best EV category.
Anyway, I love the way that it's modern, but they really reflect on their heritage in the design.
Complete with the way the windows are shaped. They've got, and they took some of the heritage things. Like, we remember all the big VW buses. They had the big VW round emblem right on the face.
Right.
Well, now that's there with the new ID Buzz, but now it lights up. And when you walk towards it with the keys in your pocket, it's smiling at you and saying, come take me for a drive. I'm not kidding. It really catches people off guard.
Oh, I'm in love. And I love the name, the Buzz, because I know a lot of thought goes into what we name these vehicles. And some of them, I just scratch my head and I go, why? Why? But the Buzz is just so darn cute. It fits.
I don't know why they picked it. ID, of course, is the Volkswagen sub-brand for all EVs. But the Buzz just must have stuck in some sort of conference they had, and I don't know where it came from, but it's perfect.
Well, let's go to the top of the list and talk about the best family car. And again, these are the 2025 Motor Week Driver's Choice Awards. And you all on Motor Week, you had a chance to spend some time with these vehicles, and then you vote, you decided the best family car is what for this year?
It's the Toyota Camry. It sounds like an old name again, and it is. It's been around forever. But this year, the Camry kind of breaks into new territory. It's almost luxurious on the inside. Every model is a hybrid, so you're talking 40-plus, 50 up to 50 mile per gallons, with a roomy midsize five-passenger automobile that can go coast to coast. They just did a great job, and for winter climates, you can get all-wheel drive, I think, on all trims. So they really checked all the boxes. There aren't that many larger sedans left, but this, we think, is the best one this year.
Is Toyota taking a little bit of a chance? Because with the kind of quality they have on the Camry now, they're really edging into Lexus territory.
Absolutely, and I think you're going to see Lexus moving even further up market because of that.
Well, speaking of Lexus, what's the best luxury car in your Driver's Choice Awards?
This was a unanimous choice, too. Mercedes-Benz E-Class, and everybody says, well, it's a pretty expensive car, granted, but it really is a slightly scaled-down S-Class. And if anyone knows about Mercedes, they always put all their new technology bells and whistles on an S-Class, and then they wait it to trickle down to their other models. Well, this trickling has been sort of like a waterfall. Very quickly, they've come out with the new E-Class, and it sets a new standard, we think, for all luxury cars.
Okay.
And your best sports sedan is really interesting.
Well, you know, the Genesis hasn't been around very long, and we actually gave this award a couple of years ago to the Genesis G70, but they've made improvements to it. And I remember very vividly the first time we got into a G70, we thought, boy, there is nothing about this car that can't go toe-to-toe with the best from Europe. Mm-hmm. And we think Genesis, even though it's a relatively young brand, has really mastered the sports sedan category with the G70. You know, 300 horsepower, 2.5 liter turbo 4, or 365 horsepower V6. But it has the track manners of a vehicle that's been around for a long time.
That's a Genesis G70.
And we're talking about the 2025 Motor Week Driver's Choice Awards. And John, I have to share with you that our producer, Julian, spent some time over at the Chicago Auto Show. And, Julian, you want to share with John what you told us about what was your favorite car that you saw at the auto show?
My favorite car at the auto show
was the Dodge.
Oh, yes, the Dodge Charger
Daytona.
Daytona, thank you.
Yes.
And Julian has great taste.
Well, we said he was there for press day, and he's also a photographer, and he was taking pictures. And we said, money's no object. What would you drive out of there? And he goes, oh, it was a Dodge. And we finally went, maybe the Daytona? Yeah. So that is your best sports coupe, right?
Yes, and for people that know that name but don't know what has happened to the Daytona and the Charger Daytona, this is now an electric vehicle, 670 horsepower of electrons flowing to the rear wheels. It's an amazing piece of work. This is a true muscle car. It doesn't have the Hemi V8 under the hood anymore, but it sounds like a muscle car. It feels like a muscle car, including that driveline lash when you put it into gear. They have done an amazing job of taking the concept of the classic Dodge muscle car and put it into an all-electric vehicle, and it was kind of a shoe-in for this category. It also helps that the Charger has now lost two doors and is back to a coupe, but there will be a four-door model, and there will be a gasoline version of it later.
Wow. Wow.
And this is exactly what Dodge Stellantis needed to do.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay, best performance car for the Motor Week Driver's Choice.
We split hairs a little bit. Yeah. The best sport coupe is always kind of a muscle car. Our performance car, a little more finesse, but they share some aspects. Hyundai Ioniq 5N, the N is their performance brand at Hyundai. This is also all electric. It also has all of these incredible sounds and sensations. It is another EV, so this is the first time we've ever seen our two performance awards go to all electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Very controversial to a lot of our viewers, but these cars earned it.
Hmm. I have to ask, you talk about all the sounds and sensations. With a lot of the newer vehicles, you can determine what kind of sounds you want.
Absolutely. Yes.
Have you ever
been in both inside the car and outside? And I know there's something terrible about artificial sounds. It runs against everything that we've ever been taught about cars, but the engineers at Dodge and at Hyundai have made it work. And until you experience it, you don't realize how much it adds to the pleasure of driving these vehicles. But maybe it's because we're old school.
But I have to ask, have you been tempted to turn off the sounds and just make it as quiet as possible and just zoom down the road?
As a matter of fact, that's the genius of it, particularly in the Dodge Charger. If you want to pull away and not wake up your whole neighborhood, you can do it. No one will even know you have left stealthy at early in the a.m.
It's so funny because we have a neighbor in Florida. We know when he comes home. We know when he goes to work because he has a Hemi in his Charger. And we know, oh, okay, Jacob's going to work.
Not only do we hear him, but the house shakes.
We literally feel it when he drives by. All right.
Well, you can do that with this car, or you can turn it off.
That's wild. Okay, sport utility vehicles, wildly popular still. You got your small utility, and what was the winner in that category?
Well, here's an Equinox again, but this is the gas-powered one. It's also all new, and basically for the some of the same reasons we gave it to the Equinox EV in the EV category, terrific looking outside, great looking inside, high value for the money. They have all the newest technology in it, but it's easy to operate. You don't basically have to sit there and just stare at a screen and wonder what you're supposed to do next. Plenty of redundant mechanical controls along with touchscreens. They just did a great job. And again, it's better than most compact SUVs. So it was a good, clear winner for us. Mm-hmm. Some nice detailing inside.
So we bump up to midsize, and what was the winner?
This is a surprise for some folks because it's not a name you normally think of mainstream, but it really is, and that's the Acura MDX.
Hmm.
This is a very high-volume vehicle for Acura, so it's a three-row SUV. The third row is not the roomiest, but you can get a growing family in it. But moreover, you're getting the Acura knowledge of how to put performance into an SUV without making it overbearing. And, of course, it's a very luxurious ride, and it's priced right. And our awards are a lot about price.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like the large sport utility vehicle was also the winner 2 years ago, right?
It won last year.
And, okay.
The Toyota Grand Highlander, it's kind of a latecomer to the large, what we call crossover SUVs with three rows. Mm. But they dotted the I's and crossed the T's and added hybrid power from the get-go, and they can't keep them in stock.
Hmm.
I found it interesting, the vehicle that you picked for your best luxury utility, in part because this was a very, very careful planning on the part of Ford Motor Company to do what they did, because they shifted the production from here on the south side of Chicago over to China. And what did they do?
Well, they did what is probably the most luxurious Lincoln that's ever come out. And I'm not just talking about this big screen that stretches literally from one door panel to the other, but they also put the kind of accoutrements inside, including a crystal finished a shifter. You get in this and you're thinking you are in a pure luxury car. You may not even know what it is. But if the Lincoln intent is to become a totally separate, very luxurious entity at Ford Motor Company, they have succeeded with this car, and we hope they keep doing it. But you got to admit, it's that wall-to-wall screen that's totally configurable to whatever the driver and passenger wants. That had a lot to do with it, but then they backed it up with you just feel great driving this vehicle, and it is a real... It really deserves the Lincoln name.
Well, I want to hold you on that for a second.
Yeah.
Because Lincoln has been here before.
Yeah.
They produced vehicles that you say, wow, that's really good. That's luxury. That's competing with Cadillac. That's competing with everybody else. But they can't, or at least so far, they haven't sustained that. What are you hearing about what's going on with Lincoln right now?
I think the current management of Ford has decided that this is not going to be a temporary situation. They really want this to be not, they don't want anyone to say, oh, that's a Lincolnized version of a Ford What's It.
Uh-huh.
They have taken steps to make sure in this case with the Nautilus, that there's virtually no similarities, even under the skin, with anything over at Ford. Yeah, there's some basic structure, but that's about it. And they tell us, all you can do is go by their word that this is the beginning of some great things to come. We hope that's true.
And finally, the ever-popular truck category, small truck and full-size truck. What about the small truck? What was the winner?
Repeat winners this year, Chevrolet Colorado, GMC Canyon. They won last year. Yes, we know there are some new entrants in this category, but these two... vehicles, and again, you have two brands that are being marketed quite separately, and we think that nothing can compete with them. They basically give you all the utility of a full-size truck in a smaller package, but they're also incredible off-road as well. They've become real new off-road stars as much as on-road pleasure and work stars.
Mm-hmm. And the full-size truck is?
We like the Ram 1500.
Oh.
They've been the innovator in full-size trucks for the last 10 or so years. Now they've taken out the Hemi and put in this new Hurricane six-cylinder. It's twin turbocharged. Anybody that drives it will not miss the Hemi V8. And besides, a six-cylinder is better when it comes to towing in a truck anyway. But there you've got that on top of the coil spring rear suspension, the Ram box storage, all the innovations they've brought to full-size trucks. And we think they're at the top of the heap again.
And that's saying a lot when you say that someone who's used to the Hemi won't miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and believe me, I've got stalwarts on our staff that really were not believers until they drove it.
Well, the Motor Week television show that featured your Driver's Choice Awards ran last week on PBS. But for our listeners who have the it's the MAVTV.
MAVTV Motorsports Network.
It's going to run on Sunday, the 16th, right?
It'll start, and it'll be running all week. If you go to mavtv.com, you can get the schedule. But you can also go to the PBS app, pbs.org, or download the PBS app from your smartphone store, and it has the new show on it with the driver's choice. You can go on to youtube.com and see all the segments. Basically, if you've got a screen, you can find us.
Yeah.
And all that information is on our website at motorweek.org.
Or come by our house. We have it on our DVR.
Yeah.
Bring the pizza. You can watch it at our house.
I'll bring it in a Dodge charger.
Oh, yes.
Please, yes.
Oh, piping hot.
Well, you've got a long trip ahead of you tomorrow. Did you say that you've got like a 12-hour drive?
We're driving to Charleston to visit some friends. So, yeah.
Oh, well, safe travels. And it's always wonderful to talk to you. So I hope that we can do it before next February.
I hope there's an excuse for you to come to Chicago so we could hang out again.
Well, you just gave me one.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Well, be safe. And thanks a million, John. We really appreciate it. And we love your show. You know that.
Thanks. Night-night. I love you guys. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye, John.
That's John Davis, longtime friend, host of TV's Motor Week.
And creator of Motor Week. Yeah.
It is a wonderful TV show.
Original and longest-running automotive TV show out there.
And if you go to Motor Week's YouTube site, you can find a lot of their old shows, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to see how the show has morphed in some ways and how it stayed the same in some ways.
And how John has changed over the years, too.
Yeah.
He's just a shadow of his former self, but he's still wearing that blue jacket.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of Julian's Dealer's Choice songs. I love that. Flamingo is recorded right here in Chicago, and I only have eyes for you. If you can find a copy of the original album that was on, you will see the Flamingo's guitar player playing a beautiful black Les Paul Black Beauty guitar. That was one of my favorite Flamingos tracks. I love the Flamingos from that era. And
yeah.
Remember, Art Garfunkel redid a version of that, but the Flamingos rule.
And it's recorded so beautifully, too.
Yeah.
What inspired that choice, Julian?
Well, just a few days ago on the 12th, we lost Tommy Hunt.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He had to be in his 80s, right?
Oh, no, 91.
Oh, God bless
him.
Wow. Yeah, because I think they were still performing.
Yeah, sadly, we didn't have them at our Street Carols concerts.
We had everybody else.
Yeah. If I recall, we were trying to get them, mm-hmm. and then there was some conflict. Street Carols concerts, for those of you who don't remember, this would have been back in the late 80s, early 90s, Johnny and I hosted for 2 years in a row. It was around Christmas time. Some wonderful Street Carols doo-wop shows out at the Star Plaza. Jerry Butler, Skyliners, Diamonds.
On one show, as I recall, on one show we could have as many as 40 or 50 number one songs performed on one show. Because it was just like the band came out, they did their biggest hits, they walked off stage, another band came out and did their biggest hit. It was amazing.
Lou Christie what's his face? My Special Angel. From Indiana.
I can see him.
Bobby Helms.
Helms, yes.
Yeah.
Because remember, it was very shocking to folks when he came out pulling an oxygen tank.
Yeah.
And then he opened his mouth and sang and hit every note.
Yeah.
You would think you were listening to the record. It was amazing.
And Daddy G was in the in the band. And sadly, we just lost Daddy G. About a week or two ago.
Yeah.
An extraordinary sax player.
Absolutely. And
really
a sweet
nice man.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. We had some wonderful times when he stopped by the radio station late at night. So humble.
Yeah.
So kind and so talented. Well, one of the big stories, if you've been following the news, and didn't have the Tribune in hand. Yeah. One of the big stories.
Shame on you, Tribune.
Has been the horrible situation in Skokie and part of Evanston. The boil order has been lifted in Evanston. They're still dealing with the situation in Skokie. A listener checked in and said that Dengio's on McCormick, and that's such a popular place, it has reopened. Libertad has reopened. They were devastated. We saw them on the news last night. They had something like 150 reservations that they had to cancel.
It's their biggest day of the year. Valentine's Day, their biggest
bigger
of the
than
year.
Any Mother's Day, everything hands down. The Village Inn is hoping to get the okay to reopen by Sunday afternoon. Our friends that are at Outback, they were devastated by it. You've got Chili's. You've got so many restaurants that had to close.
Will's Place
was
impacted by that, but fortunately on was it Friday or Thursday that Will's Place, everybody showed up and they got everything that Will's Place had made for the weekend.
Right. And the community was just wonderful when they got word that Will's Place was going to have to close and would not be able to sell all this good stuff that they made.
And wouldn't be open on Saturday.
Yeah, and all of that was made for Valentine weekend. They came and swooped in and helped out Will's Place. And if you're not familiar with Will's Place, you really should stop by. It is just, it's such a special place.
The website is willsplaceskokie.com.
Right. And Will will be behind the register, and Will is nonverbal, but he communicates with you via a laptop, which is pretty amazing. The food is beautiful, but it's so good. The prices are reasonable. You can park right on Lincoln Avenue. You can run in, get your coffee, get something sweet, or maybe a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And they're just doing really, really well, and we're so proud of them.
So up in Skokie, boy. And the sad news, along with all the restaurants, people whose cars are totaled.
Well, as far as the restaurants are concerned, I like to believe that they have insurance. And the Village has said, yes, we also have insurance. We'll be talking with people who've been devastated by this. But the people who worked on the biggest day of the year for them and planned on walking away with a pocket full of money from tips, they were out.
Yeah.
So that was pretty devastating for this work staff from, you know, I don't know how many eateries there were forced to close down, but if you were in Skokie, you had to close. Simple as that. So we will continue following that story for you. And there's a little bit of news just kind of drab-drabbing out because they continue to work on the water main break.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with Gino Gino, the Showbiz Machino on WGN.
Showbiz train, baby, won't you climb on board? Showbiz train, baby, won't you climb on board?
Well, boys and girls, once again, it's time for us to take a look into the people who inhabit the big and
small
screens and find out just how big or
small
they really are. And here with all the pertinent poop, it's the pertinent poopmaster, his own bad self,
Gino,
the showbiz machino. Hey, Gino.
That you remember it. That you remember the intro, because I couldn't remember.
Well, he looked at me and I thought, no, don't look at me. And then it popped into his head. Doesn't know what he ate for dinner, but that
I remember.
Back.
I retain the important stuff.
That's true. Well, it is great to catch up with you, Gino. And there's so many things we need to talk about. At the top of the show, we were talking with our news guy, Ron, about the new Sly Stone documentary. And he said he got to see like 15 minutes of it, and he was blown away. It's called Sly Lives, also known as The Burden of Black Genius, correct?
Yes. Directed by Questlove from The Roots, the band with Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did an incredible job. And it is such a story of triumph, tragedy, and then hopefully what seems like to be a happy ending.
Well, speaking of tragedy, I read an interview with one of the producers, and it made me very sad because he said he's getting a lot of questions from folks who've seen this documentary on Hulu, and they said, well, why didn't you interview Sly? And he said, Sly cannot speak in full sentences. I said, holy smokes.
This is the toll that the drug use took on him, and it's really sad because, you know, the band wanted to get back together, And about 15 years ago, Fly said he was going to come back, and he was appearing at the House of Blues in Los Angeles, and I went.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hope, like, for the great comeback, right? Like, everything was going to be okay. And, I mean, his sister was in the band. Most of the original members, Cynthia Robinson, the trumpet player. And he comes out 2 hours late, which was always the problem.
Oh, yep.
And but you know what? The audience, we forgave him. We were so happy to see him. And then he started complaining about the promoter.
Oh.
He did maybe 8 songs, maybe 6 songs. And then he said, I've got to use the bathroom, not using those words. And he never came back.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, what was I was trying to think of this. The last time we saw him on TV, it was some awards show. And they had there was a lot of big publicity about the fact that Sly Stone was going to be there. So he comes out, and as I recall, the band was there. He comes out, and he goes, and he's behind the keyboard, and he kind of stands there for a few minutes, and then he just kind of walks away.
Yeah. You know, he had that mohawk, if you'll remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had an accident where he fell off a cliff, and his neck is fused so that he can't really turn his head anymore. But, you know, the problem is the drug use. And, you know, it started, there was another comeback attempt when he was much more coherent. He was on the David Letterman show when Letterman was still on NBC. And Fly came out. He had just gotten out of jail. And he wanted them to put the phone number up of his promoter to hire him. And it was just heartbreaking that that he would, you know, resort to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did 2 or 3 songs with Paul and the band at the end, and it was so exciting because he was still great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just got worse with the drug use, and, you know, they said that, they can't interview him, but that he's clean right now and that he spends time with his children, and that's the happiest part of this, that hopefully these last years he's going to be okay, but What a shame, and what a talent, because he was a San Francisco DJ, then he started producing records, and then put together Sly and the Family Stone. And how many hits did they have? Steve, I'm sure you played them.
And they were so good. But we were talking with Ron earlier. To me, two of the best, worst examples of geniuses who destroyed their creativity with drugs, Sly Stone and Brian Wilson.
Yes, you're right.
Because particularly the early Sly Stone stuff was just so... In fact, Julian, just for a second, because we need to groove to a little bit of Sly. Can you lay some Everyday People on us?
And again, the documentary where you're talking about is Sly Lives. It's on Hulu, and it's getting a lot of play because a lot of people are going, oh, well, is he still alive, number one? And he is.
Everything about that is perfect. The groove, the vocals, the message.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when Sly was at his peak.
Yes. You know, Dance to the Music, when he yells, Cynthia and Jerry have a message, and then Cynthia, the trumpet player, yells, all you squares go home. I mean, it didn't get any better than that. And in 1993, the entire band was there for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and... You know, Larry Graham, who was bass player, said, it's just sad that not all the members of this band could be together. And all of a sudden, coming out from under the curtain is Sly himself. And he just says a few words and walks off and he says, see you around. And people got all excited again, thinking, well, does that mean he's going to come back?
Yeah.
It's just really a tragedy. He never was able to come back.
Well, you've watched the documentary Is it sad, or did Questlove take the approach that this man has a great story to tell? We need to tell it. We need to maybe adjust his legacy so that people really understand how good he was.
Yes, no, that's exactly what he did. But you know, it does get sad when you see what happens when he's in jail and all these drug problems. But then the happy part is that hopefully everything right now. Things have been okay for, I believe, 6 years he's been clean, and that he can be with his family. And by the way, there was a lawsuit. He won back the rights to his songs. I would say it was probably within the last 10 years. So money is not an issue for him. But, you know, yeah, sadly, they couldn't interview him. It's just really unfortunate.
But even though they couldn't interview him, correct me if I'm wrong, Gino, wasn't there or isn't there a book that is the result of Sly, on some level, communicating with his family, and some of his family members put together this book about his life?
I believe you're correct, Steve. And, yeah, you know, it is a shame that they had to tell the story that he can't tell the story himself.
Yeah. Are his kids interviewed in the documentary?
Yes. And, in fact, you know, a few years back, the band was touring. They were called the Family Stone. And, you know, not Sly. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to Cynthia Robinson, who was that trumpet player that I just loved so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she loved Sly. And it was the only man she ever loved. And, you know, she has a daughter with Sly, and that young lady was interviewed.
Huh.
And then his son was interviewed. And, you know, it just breaks my heart because I love that band.
Hmm. Oh, you're singing my song. From the very first time I heard Sly Stone, I loved everything they did.
Well, I looked up a book about and by Sly Stone. This title is fabulous. Thank you. And this is one word. Falletin' me.
Mm-hmm.
Be mice elf.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep.
That's so good.
That's just like the record title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me be mice elf again.
And isn't that the one that we need to get a copy of?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that's by his family?
That's his memoir.
Well, and also, don't forget, you listen to Prince.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Direct correlation from Sly and the Family Stone to what Prince did, down to, you know, a band of multiracial people, of women in positions.
Yes.
You know, he got that from Sly.
Yeah, you're so right. Both of them were unbelievably ahead of their time by saying, women can mm-hmm. play the horn, women can be on keyboards, women can play the drums, whatever. And you're right, there were so many similarities between them. And, of course, both of them geniuses. Absolutely.
Right.
So it's on Hulu.
Is Hulu the only place people can see it, or?
I think if you have Disney Plus, that you might be able to see it as well. But you know, this was one of those situations where, when I heard this was happening, and that Questlove, he has turned into a really great documentary.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah,
he did The Summer of Soul, and Sly and the Family Stone were featured in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's great at what he does, and he did such a good job with this. It's one of the best documentaries that I've seen in years.
Hmm.
One of the things I love about Questlove, not only is he a great musician, but he has respect for the craft and for some of the real creative people that are a part of the soundtrack of all of our lives.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we're going to talk about Saturday Night Live soon here, but the concert last night was 3 hours and 15 minutes. If Questlove and the Roots were the backing band, I never saw sheet music. They played every style.
Wow.
They played with everyone, and they were just the best band. So good.
Well, I'm looking here at a review of the Sly Lives with an exclamation point, a Rolling Stone did. That exclamation point is earned. Knows it doesn't need to sell you on dancing to the music. He deserved that exclamation point.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's an interesting review of the movie. And again, it's called Sly Lives, available on Hulu. And yes, I checked, and you can catch it on, and thankfully, because we don't get Hulu, but we can catch it on Disney Plus. And the reviews are just, it played at Sundance and wowed everybody at Sundance. So I'm not surprised.
You would almost think at some point that they might do a special one-of thing in some of the regular theaters.
Yeah. I wonder if that...
I wish they had for Oscar consideration, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Here's another review. It's a funked up look at a genius.
Yeah.
Say that carefully on the radio.
Gino, before we get into Saturday Night Live, a blatant plug. Where can people follow you, see you, and send you money and stuff like that?
They can follow me on Twitter, at Movie Gino. I have a YouTube channel where I have a bunch of my interviews up, including some of the fun moments over the years with Robin Williams and Sandra Bullock. That's Watch Gino TV on YouTube. And I'm on Fox 6 here in Milwaukee, WITI.
Okay. We got to get you off Twitter and get you on Blue Sky.
Yes.
I'm working my way.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
Sunday night, this whole weekend has been a major Saturday Night Live weekend, but Sunday night there's a whole big deal celebration going on.
Yes, there is. 3 hours, and boy, I have some interesting inside scoop for you on that show.
Oh, good.
So, as you know, I'm very good friends with Julia Sweeney, who was Pat on Saturday Night Live, and
right.
who's been on your show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting story. First of all, no one is paid or no one is flown in by NBC. They had to fly in on their own, anyone who wanted to go. Ooh. And you were only allowed one ticket to the show tomorrow night because seating is so limited.
Oh.
So Julia's husband is there with her, but he's not able to go to the show. And I guess, I mean, think about it. Over the years, there was probably, I think Julia counted 174 cast members in all that time.
Yeah.
So you really can't let everybody bring guests because there's not enough room.
I'm but sorry.
I'm so excited for this show. So hopeful.
I am too, but I just think that's pretty lame. You have to come alone.
But now, yes. What theater are they using for
yeah.
this show?
No, I believe it's at NBC. That's why.
Oh,
it,
so know, it's so small.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Right. The concert was at Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
Right.
Had room for everyone.
Okay.
Okay. That explains it kind of.
I could see Eddie Murphy looking at going, what? I got to go by myself? What?
You know, let me tell you something right now. Eddie Murphy can bring as many people as he wants.
That's what I'm thinking. Exactly. Yes. And I'm tickled that there's a red carpet. I love red carpets before
yeah.
shows. And yeah. I think with this gang, that's going to be must-see TV, the red carpet leading up
Absolutely.
To the three-hour show. Yes.
Well, right. And Julia is going with Sherry O'Terry. Now, you remember her?
Sure.
As the cheerleader with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember vividly, Julia and I were at the Groundlings one night, and she said, see that guy over there? His name is Will Ferrell. He's going to be on Saturday Night Live this year. And then after the show, we waited for Sherry. Sherry was going to audition for the show. And we walked her to her car, and Julia was giving her tips on what to do for the audition. And, you know, she made it, and she was
yeah.
great on the show as well.
Yeah. Well, mentioning Julia Sweeney, I know I've told you this. I got to tell her this. Out of all of the skits on the show, her Pat was hands down right up there with a church lady, my two all-time favorite skits on the show for 50 years. And I know there was so much good stuff to choose from, but I cannot look at Pat without laughing.
I know, but you know what? The sad thing is, Julia said the joke was how people reacted to Pat. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, today, everything's controversial. There are people who object to the Pat character.
Yeah.
And there was a show that with a Chicago actress called Work in Progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it dealt with it, and she had Julia as a regular on the show talking about how Pat had made her life hell. And they really handled it in a great way because the lead actress looked like Pat. And all her life, people were like, oh, look, it's Pat. It's Pat.
I'm sorry. That would be a bit of a curse, as funny as
yes.
the Pat character
well,
was.
And that's it. You know, she's angry at Julia in this show, but it's handled really well. And by the way, there's a documentary in the works, which should be out in a month or two, about the character of Pat.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now
you also, you did a post on Facebook where you talked about some of the behind-the-scenes things you saw, for example, with Nora Dunn.
Yes. Now, Nora Dunn, Chicago actress,
mm-hmm.
She stood up to Andrew Dice Clay. She was offended by, you know, how he treated people and how he treated women. So she decided not to participate on the show that week. And we were friends, and she asked me to come out the week she came back. And it was an emotional night. She had been treated poorly by the cast because of the stance she took. And she was, you know, crying a lot. And she said on the way in to 30 Rock, there was a man in a wheelchair and said, thank you for what you did, because he makes fun of me, too.
Oh.
And she was just, yeah.
Wow.
So I admire her for doing what she did.
Yeah.
She wasn't doing it for attention. She was standing up for what she believed.
Right. She had principles.
How offensive he was.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that, to me, always made Saturday Night Live stand out. The emphasis on live, and there were moments that would happen that weren't scripted, that were emotional moments, good, bad, or indifferent,
mm-hmm.
but they were live.
Are you thinking about Sinead O'Connor?
That?
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking of, help me, Gino, I can't think of his name. The comedian who dropped the F-bomb, and that was his last night.
Charlie Rocket.
Yes.
And I was watching that night, and it was like, what?
Yeah.
And then they edited that out of the West Coast feed.
I'll tell you, there is a fine documentary. There are, I think, four separate documentaries on Saturday Night Live on, which one is it? It's not Hulu, and that's what makes this confusing, but Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is so good. The Sinead O'Connor thing is handled. It's just really, really great. I love that show so much, and I couldn't get enough. Leading up to this 50th anniversary tomorrow night.
Well, you were lucky enough to be at so many of the tapings. Tell the story about being in a small room with you and a handful of people and Paul McCartney.
Okay, I still can't believe it happened.
Yeah.
Julia called me on a Monday. She said, what are you doing this weekend? I said, nothing. She said, you should come out. Alec Baldwin is hosting, and he's always funny, and Paul McCartney is going to be the musical guest. So I booked a flight. Went out to New York. I was at my hotel Saturday afternoon, and the phone rings in my room, and she said, it's Julia. Get down here right away. Don't ask any questions. Grab a cab. So I ran downstairs, took a cab to 30 Rock. Someone was waiting, brought me upstairs, and we went into this room, which is probably the size of my kitchen, and my kitchen is not big. I will tell you that. And there at the piano was Paul McCartney, and he did three songs for us, and the part I didn't put in the post because it's so embarrassing, he kept staring at me for some reason. I don't know if I looked like someone he knew. And Julia leaned to me and she said, how do you know him? I said, I don't know him. I don't know what. I was almost uncomfortable because he was singing and he kept staring at me. Like, I don't know what the reason was, but it was quite the experience. He did Lady Madonna. He did Let It Be.
Oh,
it was just incredible. And there were literally 10 of us in the room at the time.
That's amazing. All right. I think I recall, and you may have written about, the fact that you had an idea for a skit, and it was actually done on the show.
Yes. So Julia's Pat character took off. And again, the gist of the character was to know what sex Pat was.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, Single White Female, the movie came out with Bridget Fonda.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh. And I called Julie and I said, you know, you've got to do a Pat sketch. Call it Single White Person, where Pat gets a roommate who becomes obsessed with Pat, and Pat comes home and the roommate is dressed like Pat. So Julia and her writing partner, Christine Zander, who's also from the Chicago area, they wrote the sketch, and I'm sitting home and it's 10:15 on that Saturday night, and Julia called. She said, it made it to the show. I could not believe it.
Wow.
And yeah, I was so excited. And Joe Pesci was the host that week, and he played Pat's neighbor, very similar to the character in Single White Female.
Single White Person.
So did you get writing credit?
No, but you know what? I was honored that she even took the suggestion. And again, I didn't write it, but I just came up with the idea.
Yeah.
That just meant so much to me that she would even use it, and that it made it to the show.
Oh, that's cool. Well, looking back over 50 years, and granted, you have a different perspective because you were actually in the studio for tapings. Is there a favorite skit or a character that you hands down say, this is my favorite?
Wow, that is really difficult. You know, early on, I was in high school when the show first premiered. when I saw Steve Martin come out as King Tut,
yes,
yeah,
the greatest thing I've ever seen. And then it, you know, they ended up releasing it as a single.
Yeah,
and I love all the Will Ferrell stuff. He makes me laugh. And one of the documentaries is all about the More Cowbell sketch with Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
And holds, and that holds up today too.
The one that always gets to me, Pete Davidson. He can walk on stage and I'm on the floor.
Well, that's how I am about Bill Hader. When I see Bill Hader, oh my gosh, I just want him to start doing any character. He's just got a funny face.
And Chris Farley, you know, his hero was John Belushi, and sadly he followed him in the same way with his death.
Yeah.
When they did that Chippendale sketch with everybody's working for the weekend or playing, and he's auditioning for the Chippendale shirtless with Patrick Swayze. I mean, I don't remember laughing as hard as I did at that. That was incredible.
Well, I hope we're going to see a bunch of these things in the special on Sunday night.
I think we are.
Because it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just want some good news stuff. And the encouraging thing about that is Tina Fey is one of the writers for the special, as is Seth Meyers. So they're in good hands. And John Mulaney is also one of the writers.
Good. Yeah.
They're consistently funny, and they know what makes that show work.
Absolutely. Well, my friends are saying they're calling it cozy TV. It's a reason to stay home on Sunday night.
And we need that.
Yeah, we do need that. Absolutely.
I agree.
Well, we need more Gino in our life, so people can follow you. They can see you at Watching Gino TV, and they can see you up in Milwaukee, but you need to stop by here more often and keep us up to date.
I want to do that. I mean it. We don't see each other often, but I love you, too. You guys are great friends.
Back at you, Gino. You got to find an excuse to come down to Chicago.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I will do that.
We'll pay for the pizza.
Unlike NBC, who won't pay for anything.
Yes.
I still can't believe that. Eddie Murphy walks in with an entourage, and they're like, wait, I'm by myself? What? Thank you, Gino. Enjoy.
I'm gonna
text you during the show Sunday night, okay?
Please do.
All right.
Please do.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Gino. Stay with us. More coming up. News. No, news is not next, so I won't say that. So forget that I said that and just hit a spot.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine and the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Let this play for a while, Julian. This is Glenn Campbell and the Stone Temple Pilots.
I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you. I want you for all time. And the Wichita line is still on the line. I need you more than one.
I'd never heard that before. I have to thank those of you that are longtime Chicago radio listeners know the name Jackie Runice. And Jackie posted that, or a version of that, on her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I did a little looking around and found a cleaned-up version. That was Glenn Campbell live in his studio with the Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
One of Glenn's Glenn's son was a fan of the Stone Temple Pilots, and they were going to be working on a project together, and they just, this was just one afternoon. There is a video of that, and we'll mm-hmm. we'll post the video on the Steve and Johnny Facebook page.
But ironically, it was just made public in the past 2 weeks. So the son probably stumbled across it,
yeah.
and that's how it gained some momentum thanks to social media. It still makes me a little bit sad, even though he sounded so good in that.
Oh, he sounded wonderful. Oh. But interesting, too, that the Stone Temple Pilots, because you don't think of Stone Temple Pilots as doing that kind of music, and mm-hmm. yet they had such respect for Glenn Campbell. And he was always open to new ideas in working yeah. with new people. But you could tell how they knew the arrangement. They loved playing with him.
Well, 20 years ago, Glenn Campbell's son, Cal, toured with him, with Glenn, as part of his band. And he introduced his dad to his favorite grunge rock band, mm-hmm. the Stone Temple Pilots. And the group's singer, Scott Weiland, had produced some tracks for the younger Campbell's rock band. So they had actually worked mm-hmm. together. They're going to work together again. And Cal saw that as a good excuse to get his dad in the studio at the same time. And the story goes, Rolling Stone reports, that they knew the song. It was yeah. not like they had to stumble around and figure yeah. it out. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool, you yeah. know? Because at that time, it was already a 45-year-old song.
Oh, sure. And that's as good as any version that I heard Glenn do live. I mean, their background mm-hmm. and that wonderful Dan Electro guitar
yeah.
solo that,
it's so
that
sweet
Glenn takes.
Listening to it with headphones on, too. It's like, ah. Oh. But my first, I think I came, when I watched the video the other day, I came to the conclusion that that really was my first concert, was seeing Glenn Campbell. Shortly after that, my first rock concert would have been Herman's Hermits and the Dave Clark Five at
now,
the
where
Century
Theater.
Now, where did
you see Glenn Campbell?
Wherever they had the rodeo in Chicago. It's by the Stockyards. Because I remember thinking,
the amphitheater?
Yeah. As a Northsider, I was terrified.
The International Amphitheater?
My mom and I went, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what year would that have been?
He was kind of a relative unknown, but that was a big venue for him to perform. I was probably 8. I was
okay,
going through my...
So that would have been 60s?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and again, as a Northsider, my mom and I were kind of freaked out by the fact that we were going to that theater. We'd never been there before.
Because some of Glenn's early hits were mid-60s. Mm-hmm. That's when he started doing some of the Jimmy Webb stuff.
He was still big enough, though, that he could fill a place
yeah.
like the amphitheater. I don't know why I drew a blank on it. I just remember that our neighbor drove us there because he worked at the Stockyards. And he said, don't worry, I can get you there, and I'll come and pick you up. I'll be back in 2 hours to pick you up. And he was a nice man. He sat in the parking lot and wow. waited for the show to be over with. And I was going through, and I know this sounds crazy, but I was going through my phase as an 8-year-old where I looked like Glenn Campbell.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I had a pixie haircut. Yep. I had the same color hair.
Yep.
I looked like Glenn Campbell, which I think my mother liked that idea because she adored him. It's sad to think you're an 8-year-old girl and people go, gee, you look like Glenn Campbell. But I did.
I never was fortunate to see him live, and I wish I had.
We had tickets for his last show in Florida.
And it wound up being canceled.
It did, remember?
It
yes.
was going to be at the Panama City Civic Center.
And we had front row seats that yeah. we bought. And we were so excited about it. And then they said, no, he can't make that concert.
Yeah.
And so I was glad they didn't force him to come out because he was going through a terrible stage where they yeah. realized that he did, in fact, have Alzheimer's and yeah. early onset dementia.
We, over the past several years, we got just about every Glen Campbell album yeah. available. And one of the things that I was never aware of, I was always a Glen Campbell fan. But I was never aware of the fact that Glen Campbell, even in his demos, he did demos for Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
He never made a bad record. There was never anything where he's not giving less than 2,000%
yeah.
to everything that's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And if you can see his television show, oh my gosh, when he would perform with other performers, I'm thinking about Bobby Gentry. Oh, the two of them
oh,
together
yeah.
were so good.
Morning Glory, one of my favorite
oh,
songs.
Him and Johnny Cash were outstanding.
Sure.
Good stuff.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Johnny Putman at WTN Radio, Love Shack, baby. Now you can say, well, why are you playing that there B-52s record, Love Shack?
We've actually been singing it around the house for a couple of days because we posted a bunch of pictures from our Valentine Love Shack, and you'll get a glimpse at the decorations that we have from the two trees, the two big trees that are decorated, the small trees, the Valentine that just threw up all over our house, including our Mickey Mouse kitchen.
It's on, you can go to Facebook, so facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And please go to Blue Sky because we also have a link on Blue Sky as we're more and more weaning ourselves off Facebook, and we would
right.
like you to follow us on Blue Sky and on our blog. But you can find it if you're on Facebook, just scroll down and you will see some of the pictures from the Love Shack.
Julian, have you looked at the pics?
Not yet. I'll check on that right now.
Take it all in as one of
By the way, I'm still reeling from something Julian told me only moments ago.
I know.
Julian, you had never, until we just played this, you had never heard of Glen Campbell?
News to me.
Bless your heart. Bless your pea-picking heart.
I know we are observing our 40th anniversary.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. That's just wrong.
But, you know, he's hanging out here. He listened to the tune on his way into work tonight. You were grooving to it, right, Julian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm building a playlist right now for my drive home.
Oh, nice.
Good.
So, back to the pictures from our Love Shack. Meta AI. A couple hundred people have checked out the pictures and said just really sweet things. Like, boy, you've got a lot of time on your hand to do all that decorating. Where do you keep all that stuff stored? Yeah, that's a challenge, but we have a big building, so I find places where there are no...
And by the way, Sarah, who runs promotion stuff here at WGN Radio...
Yes.
Bless her heart. She did a post about it being our 40th anniversary mm-hmm. as a him and her on the radio. And she said, and here are pictures of Johnny's tree. No, you need to add an S on.
Those are two
there.
Different trees.
Two different
yes.
trees.
Yes.
There has never been For how many years? There's never been only one tree.
It's been about 15 years because actually 13 years. After my mother passed away, my dad said, "Can't I have a tree too?" And I said, "Yes, that gives me so much joy that you want your own 7-foot tree."
And I think around Christmas isn't the count around 9 or 10?
Oh, it was 9 this year. Yeah, yes. And
right now, I believe, counting my guitar tree, the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I think that's
the little one in the kitchen too.
Yeah.
Oh, the Mickey Mouse tree that's in the kitchen.
Okay, 6.
Yeah, I transitioned that over to Valentine's too. And yes, I do have a lot of stuff, and yes, I do find places to store it, and yes, it does take a lot of time to put it all out, but I enjoy it.
And thank you to anyone who was nice enough to send us some ornaments, because a lot of the trees have ornaments that listeners have been nice enough to send, and thank you.
There is, if you zoom in on the tree that has the swag drape behind it, that's kind of more of the formal Valentine tree, zoom in on that, and you will see handmade ornaments from listeners, and there are white satin hearts hanging on that tree. Those hearts were on our wedding gifts that listeners gave us when they gave us a wedding shower when we were at WIND. Complete strangers surprised us.
Who became friends.
Oh, yes.
As listeners, extended family.
At the Belden Deli on Howard,
we
got word that we were being summoned to the Belden Deli, and when we got there, they took us to a back room, and there were all these faces we had never seen before, and all these people had come out for our wedding shower, and on gifts that they had for us were these white satin hearts that are now hanging on the trees. But back to Meta AI, real quick, I had to laugh. Commenters are showering Steve and Johnny with love on Valentine's Day. They're admiring their beautifully decorated love shack and expressing gratitude for sharing their joy and creativity. One commenter notes Johnny's exceptional decorating skills, suggesting a missed calling. Well, I think that's a case of Meta got it exactly right. Right on the nose. But if you want to see those pictures, you need to go to our Facebook page, scroll down, you'll see a whole bunch of those pictures, and that will be under our 40th anniversary picture.
But you can also find it on our blog.
Yes.
And go to Blue Sky, just on Blue Sky, do a search for Steve and Johnny, and you will find a link to it on our Blue Sky page and on our blog.
And Johnny is Johnnie, because I get texts throughout the night at 312-981-7200, and a lot of folks spell it with a Y. You won't find us that way. You have to spell it correctly.
Next week is Patrick Crispin's regular week with us. But we wanted to spend a few minutes with Patrick because, boys and girls, when you think of hacking, you would like to think, or for years we have thought that, things like government websites would be pretty well protected against hacking. We have talked about some of the occasional vulnerabilities over the years, but leave us turn to the Department of Government Efficiency website. Hi, Patrick.
Woohoo!
Wow. So this story broke, and this is the DOGE department, D-O-G-E. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it, right?
Do we say DOGE or DOGE?
It's DOGE. And it's basically, you know, we talked last week about how, you know, have I been pwned? And pwned is because you misspelled owned as P-W-N-E-D. DOGE is the misspelling of dog. And it became a meme back in 2013. Somebody puts a picture of a Japanese dog. And it became a big thing that's just like, haha, we're going to be funny. And then there's a Doge coin, which was supposed to be silly. But Doge is the Department of Government Efficiency, and they set up a website. Now, let's kind of take a step back here. This isn't the government per se. It's Doge that's acting on behalf of the government. And they set up a website outside of government servers, actually on Cloudflare pages. and they didn't actually secure it much. But the thing is, the Doge.com website or Doge.gov website isn't necessarily a government server. It's really like a big bulletin board for the 30 or so people who work for Doge to post announcements saying, okay, here's all the bad things we found in the government, and here's all the money that we saved. And really, when Wired looked at it, and it launched on Wednesday, it was really basically just one big ad for Elon Musk's X.com because all the links there were pointing to X, and you would think so because Elon obviously is in charge of Doge. Doge just didn't secure the endpoint, so anybody could actually push their own updates and think of these like bulletin board posts. They weren't actually editing the pages. It was just embarrassing. It didn't look very good. The scary part is not necessarily the hack, but one of the 30 people who worked for Doge also ended up posting classified information about the size and the staff of the National Reconnaissance Office. This is a serious classified information breach. It's if you anybody who has a classified security, you know there are different levels of it. This is called no foreign, which is not releasable to foreign nationals. The idea that some foreign nations now know the budgets and headcounts of the National Reconnaissance Office because one of the 30 people at Doge posted it there to say, look, we're going after this organization next. And it's like, oh, good Lord, what are you thinking? Please stop. You're scaring us. So the hack is embarrassing. They didn't release any information in the hack that, you know, gave access to the Treasury Department or whatever. But the Doge staffers posted publicly the headcounts of the NRO, and that's bad. Well, that's really bad.
And doesn't it say a lot about who they are? They're supposed to be tech whizzes. I'm like, really? This
and,
seems
and
so
these weird. Are the people that Musk has said, these are my people, these are tech gurus. Boy, are they going to handle stuff.
They know what they're doing.
Ugh.
There's a guy named Joe Patrice at Above the Law who posted, and the quote is, this is an administration full of unserious trolls pretending that they know what they're doing while making critical, reckless mistakes. Posting this information is scary bad.
So what happened with the information about the government reconnaissance info that was posted publicly?
It's out there. I mean, the reality is once it gets out,
it's out.
Every foreign agency in the world now knows that the NRO has a certain number of employees and how much money the United States is spending on the National Reconnaissance Office. This is again classified information, but you know, we need to be efficient, and they're kind of breaking a lot of eggs here. And unfortunately, the cost of eggs nowadays is
really
pretty obnoxious.
That their excuse is, boy, are we being efficient, and boy, are we cutting down on government inefficiency.
Waste.
That is their excuse for the mishandling that is occurring just all over the place.
Was
right
the
now.
Point of the Doge site to tell us, we taxpayers, what they're finding? Was that the whole idea behind establishing
that was it?
It was
just promotion for the folks who were in the 30 people who work for Elon Musk to basically allow you to trace your tax dollars through the bureaucracy. And that was a direct quote. And to announce cuts that were made to the federal government. So it is, in effect, kind of like a PR page.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not something that's sitting there on a government server. This is something where this past Wednesday, somebody, one of the 20-year-olds who worked for Elon ended up buying a website and just said, okay, we're going to call it Doge.com or Gov, and posted information to it without actually securing it and without actually checking to see that the information wasn't releasing stuff that they shouldn't have released.
So how do you get to post a .gov site? I mean, somebody had to sign off on that.
Well, remember that the President of the United States can sign off because he is, in fact, the chief executive of the United States.
So of course.
It is a it is a government website, but it's not on a government server. It's on a commercial, a shared commercial server, in fact, over on Cloudflare.
That pushes you to X, too, because he wants to get the traffic over there.
It's a big promotion for X. But again, that was the whole thing, is where most of the things that are going to be done with Doge are going to be done not on this website at doge.gov, but are going to be done on X. So the idea is that if you go to doge.gov and look for things and want to find more information, they want you to go to X, because that's where Elon is posting the big things.
Is it possible that he's pushing everyone to X because there's been this big attempt to boycott X from people who say, I don't want anything to do with this man? And he's, well, you know, I'm feeling that the fact that people are leaving.
I think he owns the platform. He realizes that he needs a place to post information. Why not post it on a site or on something that he owns? So
just
a social
simple.
Media site that he owns. Yep.
Okay, key questions from a number of texters. Do we, you, me, anybody individually need to be concerned about some of the information that is now available to a whole lot of people?
No, because this really was, other than the NRO stuff, which was classified, this is more really 35,000 foot view saying, here are the departments we're shutting down. Here's the, it's not your tax information that hasn't been posted there, because that's separate on a real government server that's actually behind, you know, government firewalls and things like that. This really is just a promotional website that was set up by the Doge to announce their thing. So there's nothing about you or me or anybody else there. It's stuff that one of the 30 people at Doge has posted saying, okay, here are the departments we've targeted.
Okay.
I know. So the other news that if we waited till next week, it would be old news. The latest on TikTok. So what's happening there?
So TikTok, I've given up trying to figure out what's going to happen with TikTok. 26 days after it was banished from U.S. app stores, TikTok is back in the iOS app store and Google Play store. Remember, back in April of last year, Congress and, you know, Republicans, Democrats, all voted for the Protecting Americans with Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And that was signed into law. And it basically said that the company that owns TikTok has to do a qualified divestiture by January 19th. And it just basically said that they needed to find a U.S. owner of it. January 19th, TikTok voluntarily pulled their app down and turned their servers off. They weren't actually required to do it until, I think, the next day. So they kind of, you know, preemptively said, okay, we're going to turn it off. And then Google and Apple said, well, the law says you can't operate, and we're on the hook for hundreds of billions of dollars in fines if you run. So we're going to pull the app down too. On January 20th, when he was inaugurated, Donald Trump gave TikTok a 75-day reprieve until April 5th. And basically, Pam Bondi told Apple and Google, yeah, you can bring him back. I'm not going to go after you. I'm not going to actually go and collect the hundreds of billions of dollars you would owe us for breaking the law. The law still exists. And the law says that TikTok cannot operate, because the only way that Donald Trump could give it the reprieve, which is for a 90-day reprieve, not a 75-day reprieve, which he gave, was if they had made serious progress to being sold. Donald Trump is proposing that there's going to be some sort of 50% ownership of TikTok by several U.S. investor groups. I'm not going to go into who it is. The company that owns TikTok, or at least manages it in the United States, ByteDance, they continue to say it's not for sale. That said, Donald Trump gave TikTok a 75-day reprieve. Pam Bondi told Apple and Google, I'm not going to hunt you down for hundreds of billion dollars in fines. We're not going to enforce this law. You can turn it back on. And Apple and Google did. So as of Thursday night, you can now find the TikTok app on the major app stores. And we'll see what happens on April 5th.
Wow. Okay. Well, I just saw a story. I think the creator of TikTok, a 26-year-old, just died the other day.
I didn't know that.
Of colon cancer. Yeah, 26 years old. How surprised I didn't make bigger news.
And Patrick, before we get back to tech stuff, I had several people asking, what about floods? You guys okay? What are you seeing out there?
We're absolutely fine. Basically, as we mentioned throughout the last month, after the fires, the biggest concern is that once it rains in Southern California, there's nothing holding back the debris and the dirt and the things on the mountain because there's nothing on the mountains anymore. There were some mud flows in Pasadena. We did get some heavy rain over the past couple of days. Fortunately, everything seems to be fine. There seems to be the biggest issues were closer out to Malibu. In fact, I saw a video of a law enforcement officer whose vehicle was carried out into the ocean. He's perfectly fine, but you know,
he got out of his vehicle and was able to stand on the shore and watch it just being swept away.
Yeah, and fortunately, you know, give it to the new technology. We got alerts immediately when there was flood of warnings going on in the area. We're on the second floor, so we didn't have to worry about that. But it's we're now in the recovery phase. Joseph is back in school, and the cleanup is starting in certainly Altadena and in Pacific Palisades.
All right. Speaking of Joseph, before we get back to some closing thoughts and serious stuff.
I am so proud. I, as grand dude, I'm so proud of the impression that I apparently have made on Joseph. I love this.
We got a picture tonight of 8-year-old Joseph dressed up in black from head to toe.
Complete black, head to toe.
Well, what's the occasion?
He is going to his cousin's quinceanera on Saturday and needed to dress up and was given a choice of what he wanted to wear. And decided that he wanted to be like his grand dude. And
yes! My work here is done.
Completely black head to toe.
He's wearing a black dress shirt and black pants and a necktie. Oh, it's just precious. And I looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, Steve is going to freak out.
You know what? What he needs to do?
He needs a guitar pin.
Well, that, but also I have the black Enya guitar that you guys are keeping.
Yes.
We need a picture of Joseph in black with the black Enya guitar. Yes! Then my work will really be done.
Oh, that's too funny. And he looks adorable. I mean,
he really does.
We tease Steve all the time with his seasonal black, and there's the boy wearing black.
I'm still wearing my winter black. It wants to transition to spring, but
that's too early.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
I think it's a little cold for spring.
It's going to be one on Monday, so it's a little cold. Before we let you go, and next week is your twice monthly visit with us, and we'll have a lot of ground to cover. Listeners wanted to know if you will clarify back to Doge.gov. Does that mean any Joe can put stuff on that page, on that site?
There was a database that was left open and you could append things to the end of it. I'm not sure if it's been fixed yet. So the answer is not exactly. You can't go in and edit the pages. You could have added things to it. I'm not sure it's a major. It's an embarrassment, but
it's also a little scary.
Yeah.
Because when the story first broke, we all went, what? This doesn't seem like an action or a lack of action on a part of a person who is tech savvy.
And it certainly doesn't seem like government efficiency.
There's some humor in that. I did not know that DOGE was hearkening back to a joke.
It's misspelling of the word dog. Doge. And it was started in Tumblr. Somebody posted a picture of a dog named Kobusu. It's a Shiba Inu dog.
A what? And a who dog? Sitting, wait.
Shiba, Shiba, space Inu, Inu. It's kind of like a sheepdog. And he's sitting there sort of lounging with his paw on the couch, looking, and somebody took a picture of him, and then somebody else a little while later said posted on it in Comic Sans, because it was 2013, the word wow, and then, you know, such cool, such awesome. And it just became really funny. And then everybody started posting Doge everywhere. And then when the crypto bros decided, you know what? We need to have our own meme coin. We need to go and use this Doge and put that as the logo for this meme coin, this sort of crypto token coin that's really set up as a joke, but what the heck? And Elon Musk, who is a meme lord and an edgelord, kind of said, that's a great idea, and bought a whole bunch of the coins and now has a whole bunch of money. So it really started as an underground joke on the internet by people who couldn't spell dog, which doesn't make me feel good about them getting into our servers if they can't spell dog.
Yep. text from 773, about 4 weeks ago, the Washington Post did a story about how Doge invaded OPM. They published a letter from an OPM whistleblower. They described how Doge usurped OPM's functions by setting up a separate private server at OPM's office. It was through this alternate server that the buyout offers were sent to federal employees. Mm-hmm.
And this is a big concern, is that as the experts who are cybersecurity gods are let go, our foreign adversaries are not going to stop, and they're going to try to get into the servers. If the servers have been compromised by adding new software that hasn't gone through a vetting process that the government has. And granted, the government is bureaucratic, but sometimes the bureaucracy there is there for a reason, and maybe it's for protecting us. You could be introducing extra risks where a foreign adversary might be getting into the servers. That's not what's happening on Doge.gov, because that's just, you know, a bulletin board. But they are getting into regular government servers and setting up software that might not be authorized and might not be secure. And we're not quite sure what they're doing. And there's questions about the legality of what they're doing. And we're just going to have to see, one, what happens from that, and two, what damage, if any, is going to come from it. So yeah. I understand the goal is to make the government efficient by laying off a lot of people and cutting what is deemed to be bureaucracy. But sometimes the bureaucracy is there for a reason. They fired in the Department of Energy the people responsible for securing the nuclear weapons. And realized, oh, wait a minute, we probably shouldn't have fired the people who were in charge of nuclear weapons. Let's go and try to hire them back. And the latest news is they don't know how to find them.
Oh, wow. And what about the IRS?
I would just jump in, and this is my opinion. I would say the stated goal is to improve government efficiency. What the real goal is, that's a whole nother discussion.
And let's close on the IRS, too, because Ron was reporting tonight the number of IRS employees that are going to be let go. And a listener said, well, is it possible we'll be getting our IRS refunds in crypto? Don't go there.
I don't know if it's coming in crypto. I would certainly hope it would be a little more stable than something that can fluctuate as wildly as cryptocurrency. We'll see what happens to the strength of the dollar. But right now, I could see there being delays in processing your returns as you submit them, and delays in payments. Because remember, one of the things they were going to do was they were going to hire 80,000 IRS agents,
right,
not to go in and go after you, but really because they have a lot of people who are already retiring and they needed to staff back up just to get back to the regular levels, is what I was told. And now we're going to be cutting it even more. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I think the long-term goal there is that they're going to cut the size of the government, so the needs for the IRS are going to be a lot less because there's going to be less money having to go out.
All right, let's mark this tape for a year from now. We'll go back and listen to it. Thank you, Patrick. We will talk next week, and I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch to talk about next week on the show.
And I want to see a picture of Joseph with that guitar.
We'll make sure that happens.
Thank you, Patrick. Good night.
Thank you.
That's Patrick Crispin, and Patrick will join us for a full hour
right.
next week, and we will talk about all kinds of computer things.
And answer your questions and all that good stuff. Tonight is Tom's night to talk cars, and we will do that in the midnight hour with Tom Appel. But coming up, I think we're going to have our shout-outs because we have not been able to do that for the past few weeks, and we'll just sneak in a few names of folks that are listening to us in 17 different states tonight on WGN.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah. Say you will.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Time for a few shout-outs.
So a listener posted, they wondered if I was getting over laryngitis. And I wrote back and I said, no, I don't know what you're hearing. And in the last half hour,
literally,
I'm losing my voice. And I had to write back to her and say, wow, you picked up on something hours before I enlist.
So you're solving one problem and getting another one.
That's life, Steve. That's how it works. Yes, quickly, I'll say, I've solved probably temporarily,
hopefully.
But for the time being, those of you who listen to our show regularly, you know that I have been plagued by a horrible back condition. There was a Saturday night where I could not work because I could not sit. It was the worst. And I finally got to the point where through medication, I was able to go to physical therapy, and physical therapy led me to a pain clinic, and the pain doctor said, I think you are eligible for an epidural. And I had that booked for the end of last year, and I chickened out. And I said, nope, I don't think that's for me. And
I had to remind Johnny that years ago, mm-hmm. I had an epidural for a back problem, and knock on wood, this was how many years ago?
It was 20 years ago.
And it's never come back. Yeah. I mean, I got lucky.
But all I could think of were the people who said, oh, it didn't do a thing for me, and oh, it was so painful, and I'm not sure you want to do that. Finally, after a couple of weeks of physical therapy, I thought, you know, I can do this. And so I was on the schedule for this past Thursday. I went for it, and oh, my gosh. I'm just praying that it lasts for a while, because I was walking down the hall tonight and I thought, I'm actually walking like me instead of stumbling and
literally,
moaning. And
I could see the difference within 24 hours in the way you're standing, getting up, walking,
it's pretty
everything.
Remarkable. Yeah. So if you are confronted with that, don't listen to the people who say, oh, no, it's so painful. I actually said to the doctor at one point, I think I need a break. And he said, no, I think you need to leave. I'm done. And I said, oh, really? That was kind of interesting. The only pain was the shot of lidocaine that they put in your back so that they can do the actual
and
epidural.
Literally, the actual procedure was only about 20 minutes
20
or
minutes,
so.
Yeah. And he,
as opposed to when I had it done years ago, and it was a multi-hour thing.
Yeah.
So the technology has significantly improved.
Well, shout-outs, because we had a whole bunch of people who have tuned in tonight, including Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights, Don in Portage, Michigan, Bonnie and George out in Elgin. Hey, Bonnie and George. Robin's in Dyer, Indiana. Sherry is with her fur babies, Desi and Lucy, in Romeoville. And Sherry took a bad fall, and so she's at home recuperating. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Stacy's in Algonquin. Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. Scott is in PR, South Dakota. Wally Powers checks in from Pine Bluff, North Carolina. Pete Lawrence is in Sauk Village. Laura and her Bichon named Cotton are in Willowbrook. Lynn is in Park Ridge. And Patty is a big, big fan of the Blackhawks and WGN and our show. And we want to give Patty a shout out tonight, a very special one. Michelle Reitman is listening in Skokie with no running water. Sherry's in Morris. Jana Norb are in Florida. Greg Borgman is in Muskegon, Michigan. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Mark is out. That's Mark with a C. He's out in Aurora. Lynn Kinzer is tuned in from San Antonio, Florida. Nancy Nosek is in South Holland. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Mary Gold is listening in Tinley Park. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Kathy Abnor is tuned in with her brother Ralph listening. Ed Wales is one of our regular listeners from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where if you think it's cold here, that's kind of the norm for them. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Rich Wade is in Franklin Park tonight visiting his twin brother, Bob. And Janice in, Janice Corotobi is in the North. Thank goodness the northwest side of Chicago is listening tonight. Rita Reggie's in Fort Worth, Texas. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Larry Mann is listening on his Sea Crane Radio out of Miami. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Ryan Corcoran is in Westmont, Illinois. His next stop is Milwaukee. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. Susan Powell is tuned in from Memphis. Thank you, Susan. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Tom Feed is in Medina, Illinois. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview. Donna Ferguson is in Hanover Park. Richard Koch is in Hobart, Indiana. Oh, and I should mention our buddy Chuck Snitchler is in Hobart, Indiana, still showing off his Valentine decorations, just as I am, because the month of February is Heart Month, so we're going to enjoy them for a couple more weeks. Brian Lefevre is a great listener, and he is in a beautiful Bridgeport, tuned in. Debbie Hardiman is in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. Cheryl Jendrzewski, I think I got it right, Cheryl. Thank you for listening. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Evelyn Tranbarger is in Cincinnati. And I think that's the first time Cincinnati has checked into the show.
I think you're right.
Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory tonight. Jeffrey Welshens is in Elkins, West Virginia. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Mark Goldstein in Owings Mills, Maryland. And I hope he heard our buddy John Davis on the show tonight, because that's where the show Motor Week comes from. Terry Knight's in Batavia. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. She's got her snowshoes ready. Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Betty Wilkins is in St. Louis. Ron Anderson is in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think that's the first for Louisville to check in. Helen Bodvin tuned in. Our buddy Bobby Danos is out in Sandwich listening. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. Helen Thomas is in K-Town. Eric Baum sends us another lovely picture from...
I was just looking at that picture. He's listening from Wells Beach, Maine. And he sent just a gorgeous picture.
And he mentions that he has an automatic whole house generator for storms like this. And he said they had a large...
We need to talk, Eric.
Yeah, a large snow and ice storm tonight. And yeah, he was thankful he had his generator. Jim Smith is in Hoopston, Illinois. Justin Sebus is tuned in. Please remind drivers of all kinds to turn on your headlights to on, not to auto. We try to do that, Justin. And tonight, sure enough, we were on the road not 5 minutes before we encountered cars that didn't have their lights on. Peter Jukubowicz is tuned in. He's a big fan of Tom Appel's, too. He's in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Nancy Tomachewski's in West Allis. Tom Appel even checked in on the page. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru. She made us another lovely graphic for tonight. Lester Clyden is listening on one of his DX radios. Stephen Verheeren is tuned in. Bonnie Nelson, Judy B., Lynn O'Brien in Plano, and I think I got everybody. Roy Phillips checked in from Northwest Illinois. So thank you all for tuning in. And every week we try to do a little shout out to folks who take the time to tune in to our 5-hour show on a Saturday night. And we might mention that next Saturday's show will be 4.5 hours because we're...
Right. We start at 9:30. And along with Patrick Crispin joining us, my brother Lee will be joining us next week, too, because we're going to do a little... Oscar preview, and Lee has forever been a movie savant.
Yes.
And
meaning you ask him about a movie and Oscar, and he will give you the details. It's amazing.
He'll give you the director, what the director's wife wore that night
wardrobe.
To the ceremony.
Yes. And we'll have him on next week because the following week is a really short show.
Yeah. And next week he'll be giving us his Oscar picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious. There's one more. I'm not going to say which one it was. But one movie we heard from Lee this week, and he said in the years he's been seeing movies, this is the first one he was tempted to walk out on. And it is one of the movies that is nominated.
Yes. He said if he had seen it in a theater, he would have walked out.
Right.
But he said it was the just the worst thing he's ever seen on film. He streamed it at home, yeah, and he was livid, and even more livid because the fact
don't give too much away.
So many nominations for this particular movie. So be interesting to pick his brains about that one.
Yeah, I found that very interesting because it's a movie that is pretty highly visible
and I was
right now.
Kind of thinking we should see it. No, not so much. No.
No. We're going to talk cars with Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide. You can get to us at 312-981-7200. Some people texting with some car questions.
But right now, we're going to take a break here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
This would have been a jam at the roller rink. We would have been fighting to get out there and
I bet you would have couples skating
with this tune. I know.
That tune was one of Tom's car tunes, Tom being Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, who was that and what was that?
That was a piece called Roll 'em Pete by Ray Bryant and Coleman Hawkins. And the first I can find of that actually being printed on a record was 1960.
Mm, that was good stuff. Obviously,
yeah, that's fun.
Neither of you have ever skated at a roller rink that had great music. I can tell.
I have. Oh, no, not great music. I skated at a roller rink. Terrible music.
Where did you skate as a Chicago area kid? Where did you go?
The Orbit Roller Rink in Palatine, Illinois.
Oh, we used to think that if we could just get a passport, we could go from the north side of Chicago to Palatine. It would be so cool to go out there and skate. But we didn't think we could ever make it because there was no public transportation to take us there then.
I think the only song they ever played was I Can Help. Who was that? Freddie?
No, I Can Help. Oh, Billy Swan.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
With a kind of a Chuck Berry guitar solo in it.
What an
They played the heck out of that.
What an odd choice of songs. Now, where I went, they played He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother over and over. And that's the weirdest thing to move to, you know? He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. The original, which is really kind of sad and weird.
Well, believe it or not, we're going to talk cars tonight.
Yes.
Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide. You should go to consumerguide.com and follow Tom on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom. And you can read on Consumer Guide's website. You can see all kinds of information about new road tests and all kinds of things. A blatant plug light. What are you proud about that's on Consumer Guide right now?
Oh, I just wrapped up my written review of the 2025 Toyota Camry. For people who don't know, a vehicle was redesigned for 2025 and goes hybrid only. Mostly good news, a little bit of bad news, but a complete review. And what I'm most proud of is the pictures turned out really good.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay.
And we talked to John Davis earlier tonight from Motor Week.
Great guy.
Because of their Driver's Choice Awards. And the Camry was chosen as their car of the year.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So you were comfortable in the vehicle, and you liked the changes.
Yeah, the big change is the move to hybrid only. They did update the interior, and I think the interior updates might be the most questionable thing about the car. For some reason, there's upholstery on the dashboard. I don't know why. Huh? This isn't a conversion van. It seems weird. It looks pretty good, though. It's just a little strange. But otherwise, it is a very roomy, comfortable, smooth-riding, reasonably affordable car that gets great gas mileage.
It's not shag on the dash, is it?
No, but it's carpety. It's like really? It's carpet stuff. Yeah,
carpety dash.
That's weird. Ooh.
Why does that make me think? Why does that make me think of 1970s American Motors stuff?
Oh,
or
Dodge Shorty van? Yeah,
yeah. But well, would you agree with as we were talking with John that with this Camry they're kind of getting into Lexus territory? With the quality of this car.
I wrote exactly that. In two ways. Not only is this car very high quality and the interior material is nice, but if you load up a Camry XLE with a very expensive package that comes with it, that's available for it, you do get into Lexus territory. You're at $42,000-$43,000, at which point you should make a decision about just jumping to Lexus.
What would be the advantage if you jumped to Lexus, or is there more bang for the buck if you stay with Camry?
A little bit more bang for the buck, but if you jump up to the Lexus, and this is the ES we're talking about, it's their midsize sedan, it does ride on a longer wheelbase, so you have more rear seat space, and thus probably, and in this case you do, a better ride, and the interior materials are a little nicer, and then you get the better warranty and better dealer service.
Okay. Well, let me sneak in a story about Toyota, because we always do recalls on the show. And apparently, yeah, 2 days ago, Toyota is conducting a non-compliance safety recall involving certain 21 to 25 Sienna vehicles in North America, Asia. In the U.S., it's 168,000 vehicles that will be recalled. And that's, again, the Sienna minivans.
Yeah, nice van. One of the only vans available is a hybrid and with all-wheel drive.
Oh, okay. They don't are they just not telling us what the problem is, because they're conducting a non-compliance safety recall?
Yeah, I don't know what that whole story is, but if a manufacturer is checking something out for themselves, they probably will end up going with an official recall.
Ah, okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We've got so much ground to cover with Tom Appel. We've got questions coming in. Tom, a listener wants to know about the last time the Subaru was redesigned, or when was the last time they redesigned the Outback, and what your thoughts are on that vehicle, and a whole lot more coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. This is one of Tom's tunes. I love it because it reminds me of Jonah Jones. Tom, do you remember Jonah Jones?
I don't.
Good heavens.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you said it first.
Julian, can you dig up Jonah Jones? I think it was on the street where you live. I think.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
That was a hit for Jonah Jones in the late 50s, early 60s. Mm. One of the many reasons I loved it is I have always loved syncopation.
Hmm.
And that's what Jonah was doing. But Jonah was not who we bumped back with. Who did we bump back with, Tom?
That was Ray Bryant and trumpet player Charlie Shavers. And that's Stacey Bonn. And that was off of, there's a pair of albums, Volume 1 and Volume 2, Charlie Shavers and Ray Bryant Quartet from 1960.
Hmm. Actually, it's C'est Si Bon.
Oh.
Originally made a hit by Eartha Kitt.
Oh.
But just for a second, I'm going to ask, Julian, can you look up Conway Twitty, C'est Si Bon? This was a legitimate hit for Conway Twitty. He was forced to record it. It was before he went completely country.
Wow.
He was forced to record it because there was some song that he did that apparently had a very similar melody to the guy who wrote C'est Si Bon. And there was some legal stuff, and they said, well, we won't sue you if you agree to record one of our... And C'est Si Bon was the most un-rock and roll song you can imagine. But listen to what Conway Twitty did with it.
What was the name of it again?
C'est Si Bon.
It's spelled just like Tom's choice was, C-E-S-T-S-I-B-O-N, three words.
By Conway Twitty.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? He blew me away because he was right there with your Jonah tune.
Yeah.
I was like, whoop, where'd that come from?
Okay.
And Tom's, your theme tonight is Ray Bryant and friends?
Yep, name-dropping. Bryant and his cool friends.
Cool friends, yes.
Okay, Julian has achieved C'est Si Bon by Conway Twitty.
C'est Si Bon.
C'est Si Bon.
I love to say that in France. when they thrill to romance.
C'est Si Bon.
It means it's oh so good.
Oh, that's bad.
C'est Si Bon.
That fry, that vocal fry.
See, he was, in fact, now this version is speeded up just like a full step or something because Conway's voice was a little lower than that, but.
That's bad.
It was awful, but it was a legitimate hit.
Oh, my goodness.
But because Conway agreed to record that, he didn't have to deal with the lawsuit.
And his career then continued on to be wonderful.
But one of my favorite Conway Twitty, can you believe a rock and roll version of this existed, was his version of Danny Boy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
I know.
Did you ever hear it, Tom?
No. I've heard Danny Boy.
Okay. Just for a second. And we will get back to car stuff. But, Julian, Conway Twitty, Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling.
Oh, what a sweet song.
From glen to glen. And down the mountainside.
Oh, yes.
The summer's gone, and all the roses falling. It's you, must go, and I must buy it.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Oh, Danny Boy, oh, Danny Boy, the fight. Up in the glen and even down the mountainside.
Oh my!
The summer's gone and all the roads are falling.
Okay, enough, please.
It's you must go and I must abide.
No.
But come ye.
No.
Yeah, okay, that's enough of Conway.
Oh.
I love Conway Twitty.
I did too, but oh, that was bad. That was really bad. And look what you've done, Tom. You sent us off on these tangents.
All because of C'est Si Bon. You know, at some point, we're going to have to dig up Eartha Kitt, C'est Si Bon, to let you hear.
How it should be.
How it, yeah, because that was the definitive. Okay, should we for a quick second?
Oh, my.
And then we will for sure get to. And this is, Tom is completely to blame for this.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons. C'est si bon de se dire des mots doux, de petits rien dis-tu, mais qui en disant langue, en voyant notre mine ravie, les passants dans la rue nous envient. C'est si bon de guetter dans ses yeux une esprit merveilleux qui donnait le frisson. C'est si bon, ces petites sensations savent mieux que millions. C'est tellement, tellement bon.
C'est bon,
c'est bon.
C'est bon.
Nice.
Voilà, c'est bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Les passants dans la rue.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Bras dessus, bras dessus.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
En chantant des chansons.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Quel esprit merveilleux.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
C'est bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Je cherche un millionnaire.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Avec des.
C'est bon.
Grand Cadillac car.
A Cadillac car? See, we've come full circle, Tom.
Des bijoux.
Yeah.
Jusqu'au cou, tu sais.
I think Julian found one of the rare versions that was actually the all-French version.
Nice. I like it.
Because the song was actually a hit in the United States, and she does the English translation in the version that was a hit in the U.S.
Well, I just bought a book about her life, ironically. We got on the subject of her, and I bought the book written by her daughter. The book is entitled A Daughter's Love Story in Black and White.
Yes.
Because her daughter is blonde and blue-eyed, and throughout her 60-something years, people said, well, you can't be Eartha Kitt's daughter. You're white. And she said, I am Eartha Kitt's daughter. So she wrote this book, and I just ordered it a week ago.
And Eartha Kitt was really a trailblazer. Most people recall her from Santa Baby.
Yes, of course.
Which is the perennial hit that she did.
Right, right.
But see the paths you take us down, Tom?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
Also, Eartha Kitt, cheating. She seems to speak French.
Very well.
Which seems like an unfair advantage in this case.
Yes. And she has no vocal fry either.
No, she doesn't.
Ooh, that was ugly from Conway. And I loved me some Conway, but not that. Let's get to a car question, because a listener wanted to know about the last time the Subaru folks had updated the Outback, and what do you think of the latest Outback? Can I just say I love their commercials? So,
yeah.
Tom, you take it from there.
Yeah, Subaru does do great commercials, and they do the puppies at the auto show, so people love Subaru. The Outback was last redesigned for 2019 and may be completely redesigned for 2026, it looks like. So the vehicle that out there has got some age on it, but it has been updated. It's a very nice car. This is, unlike the other vehicles in its lineup, which are really crossovers, the Outback is car-based. It was based on the Legacy sedan, which has been discontinued, but very roomy, very comfortable, and it's probably the most luxurious Subaru vehicle now, but I like it a lot. And full disclosure, my wife and I are looking for a car at some point, and the Outback is on our list.
Okay. Well, I know everyone we road tested, I always hated to give them up.
Yeah.
I always thought they were so well put together.
Yep.
And
so comfortable.
And being tall, they're easy to get in and out of. I mean, I've always been impressed, and that's over like 20 years of road testing the Outback.
They are also famously good in the snow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I have to ask, what other things are on your list since you're shopping?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, because we're looking for my daughter, too. My wife currently drives a Subaru Crosstrek, and you'll find that auto riders tend to drive Volkswagens and Subarus because they're relatively affordable, and they're relatively sporty, and they just play well with, I think, the sensibilities of auto riders. But for my daughter, we're kind of looking for the Mazda CX-30, maybe, which is Mazda's smallest crossover. That's one of the vehicles on our list.
The Mazda... Is that like a sports car? Or?
The CX-30 is a small crossover. It was updated a couple of years ago, and it replaced the CX-3 in Mazda's lineup. A little bit longer, a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. Looks more like a crossover than the CX-3 did. But very nice little car. Can be had with the 2.5 turbo, which makes it pretty spunky.
Is it all-wheel drive?
Yes. If you get the turbo, it's all-wheel drive. If you get the other engine, it's front-wheel drive.
And she needs that because she travels through some snowy terrain, right?
She does, yeah. And for the next few years, at least, she's got a job out in DuPage County. So she'll be driving down 355, which can get messy because it's elevated. And yeah.
Well, I mentioned all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive. Did I send you the video of the salesman demonstrating to his clients?
We need to post that.
Hilarious.
Wonderful. He is on his belly on the floor showing this is what your car is like when it's front wheel drive and the rear wheel.
And he's pulling with his front hands.
And then rear wheel, he's crawling and
pushing with his feet.
And then all wheel drive is hysterical.
He's doing hands and feet and everything.
Yeah,
and it really is the best example of front-wheel drive, all-wheel drive I've ever seen.
I will find that and post that on our page because we're going to take a break and come back and cover a whole bunch more car stuff with Tom and Pell here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And tonight's Tom's Cartoons theme is what, Tom?
Ray Bryant and his cool friends.
And that was who and what?
Ray Bryant and his cool friend Akira Omori, Japanese alto sax player. That song was Sneaking Around off the album Back to the Wood from 1986.
And for people who ask, you're talking cars, why is Tom doing? Because these are some of the sounds that Tom uses to test car sound systems.
Hence, car tunes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
And you should go to our Facebook page because Johnny just posted that video we were talking about.
Of the salesman demonstrating in the showroom the differences between front wheel, rear wheel, and all-wheel drive. God bless him. It's so perfect. And he's on his belly, on the carpeted floor, demonstrating this. And I would buy a car from him if he did that for me. I'd be like, okay, sign me up. That's great.
By the way, we left you with a little bit of homework last time we talked, Tom. We asked you if you could research where are we with not having to have front license plates on cars in the state of Illinois. What'd you find?
I think we've seen the Mandela effect here. I think we all believe that something happened, and it didn't. And then the crazy thing here was back in 2022, Illinois state bill and an Senate bill and a House bill was floated around, but neither one was passed. So that they would have changed the law, but nothing happened. So we still require front plates in Illinois.
So are those bills still pending? Could they be brought
back?
They're dead.
They're both dead.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
So our dealer lied to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of people believe that, too. Just like last year, I think we all believe there wasn't going to be daylight savings time.
That's right. And you're right. I love the Mandela effect. And that all stems back from when Nelson Mandela was let out of prison. People went, what? I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And you're convinced. Yeah. You saw his funeral on television. No, he's very much alive. So it became the, when you think you've seen something, and I mean, it's in stone. This is gospel. And then you realize, oh, no. But you're not the only one that feels that way. So that's the Mandela. No,
and they've renamed that now the Illinois license plate effect.
Okay.
And why were we concerned about that? Sometimes you get a vehicle that is not really made to have a plate hanging on the, there's no place to put it properly.
Right. Particularly with some of the new grills, some of the very stylish grills on a lot of new vehicles, and you don't want to mess up that styling with a license plate.
Yep.
No, I have seen terrible pop rivet jobs where dealers just kind of snap them in place. It's like, ooh, no, that is a hole in my bumper.
Well, our dealer-
and there are, I want to say there's a majority of states where you only need a rear license plate.
Michigan is one, and I know this because I have been pulled over in Illinois driving a Michigan test car.
Oh.
And they will let you go, but they do want to talk to you about it.
Florida is another one.
Right.
Indiana, I believe.
I think Tennessee is no front plate.
Yeah.
Our dealer said, I overheard him say to someone in the dealership, well, you just put it in the car with you, and when you get stopped, you just show it to them and say, I'm waiting for them to get the bracket to put it on my car.
Yeah.
But when they stop you for the third time and it's the same police officer, then you're in big trouble.
Yep.
So don't do that.
So what are you driving now, Tom?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me. I am driving the 2025, I'm sorry, it's a 2024 Lexus RZ450E, which is Lexus's only electric vehicle. It's a compact crossover in a beautiful copper color that I've been driving around in the very cold weather. And this is an extraordinarily likable vehicle as an electric vehicle. It's very smooth. It's very refined. The interior is Lexus nice. A lot here to like, but my range has been severely compromised by the cold weather. And I charged it what I thought was fully today, and I got it to 120 miles of range, though the vehicle is rated for about 200 miles.
Oh.
And I wonder what's going to happen this week, because the next few days we're supposed to have all below zero temperatures.
Yeah, and it will have that impact. And part of the problem is I've got the car outside overnight next to the house.
Yeah.
So the battery itself is cold. And slowing down, I didn't do anything to prepare for charging, so that slowed things down as well. But the maximum range is the maximum range, and that's a little disappointing. Also, the all-wheel drive is not great in the snow. It's good. It's fine, but I expected a little bit better.
Why is it not go? What about it don't you like?
Mostly, there's really good bite when you take off from a light, but it doesn't feel especially composed at speed. So I found myself driving relatively slowly and conservatively in fresh snow, more so than I normally would. I didn't have the confidence in it. There was a little bit of jerking to the left, a little bit of jerking to the right, all of which suggested that these probably aren't the tires for snow. And possibly the all-electric drivetrain may not be the perfect one for all-wheel drive driving.
Isn't that a problem with a lot of vehicles, though, that are sold with what you assume are all-weather tires, but in fact, you really need to be conscious of what you're doing in winter?
Yeah, there is a weird gray area between what they call three-season tires, and those are basically summer tires or high-performance tires, and all-season tires. But you can get all-season tires in 20 or 21 inch form, and those are not ideal for snow. You want a little bit more tread. And the thing too is that EV tires, no matter what, tend to be of a harder compound to reduce rolling resistance, which is great for range, not great for ice and snow.
Well, that's interesting. So if you change them out, it might affect the car's functioning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's something interesting there, too. You would think you could go to something like a Blizzak, which is a Bridgestone all-season tire with really good snow performance. Mm-hmm. But you, if you have an electric vehicle, you want to stick with electric vehicle tires, which are specific to that type of vehicle. So it gets harder to swap tires out.
Well, Steve, I don't know about you, but that's the first time I've heard that in all the conversations we've had about electric vehicles.
Yeah, I think, in fact, we should spend some time focusing a little more
on tires.
In depth about that.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, maybe the next time you're on with us, we take and do a little more time on tires.
Yeah, and we can talk about EV tires specifically because they're really interesting. It's interesting how they're different from regular tires. But they are different and they are expensive.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. A friend just said that she was in the market for getting winter tires because she was tired of the, mm-hmm. and I don't even recall what her vehicle was, but she was given like a $1,600 bill for four new tires.
Wow.
She said, I thought I could go in with my $1,000 tax return when I got it and get my four tires. And she said, that ain't going to happen.
You know what's happened, too, is that wheels and tires have gotten bigger over the last decade by a mm-hmm. lot. And when I was working at a gas station, we used to replace 13, 14, and 15-inch tires. So we had them in stock, and there weren't a lot of differences. Now, tires are commonly 18, 19, 20-inch, and 22s are not rare, and they're very expensive.
I want to mention we were showing Subaru some love earlier.
Yeah.
It has been brought to my attention that Subaru is recalling 20,366 Subaru 2025 Foresters. They say the wheels were not properly attached to the car.
What?
That's a problem.
That's not good.
You know, this deep, you know, we just won the award for understatement of the year. This defect makes the vehicle less stable, upping the risk of a crash and injury.
And I have to pause here and say, how could this happen in the manufacturing process, particularly when they computer check so many things before they put them into practice?
Subaru says the wheels were made with incorrect lug seat surfaces, which are areas where the wheel bolts, also called lug nuts, contact the wheel. Therefore, since they're not made for that wheel, and by the way, it's the 18-inch aluminum alloy wheels that are affected on the Forester, the 2025 Forester, that they say the car could be unstable and dangerous. So there's a recall for quite a few of them.
But Tom, what can you tell us about is it the manufacturing process or the manufacturing planning process that goes here? How could this possibly happen?
The wrong lug nuts. Yeah.
I think it's not the rug, but I think it's the seat in the wheel itself. So you have an impact hammer that you use to drive in the lug nut, and those are air hammers. We've seen those lots of times, or air guns, and they're set to a preset torque, so those don't make mistakes. They're very simple mechanical devices. But if the seat in the wheel is too soft or it breaks or something like that, then this lug nut isn't snugged in all the way, which essentially means it's loose, so it could slowly slip out.
But how would this get from design to the point that you're manufacturing this and you don't realize that this is a problem?
A materials gap somewhere in the supply for the wheel? I don't know. It seems like they caught it pretty quickly because they sell an awful lot more than 20,000 of those a year. So they found the problem a little too late for owners of those vehicles because they had to get new wheels.
Subaru said they will check all four wheels. They will replace any that were manufactured incorrectly free of charge. And this is February 15th. If you own a Forester, a 2025, you'll be getting your letter on March 24th.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I'll be driving around in my vehicle for the next month and a half.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back talking cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of Tom's car tunes. Tom, who is that and what is that?
That piece is called Old Folks. It's off the Ray Bryant and Kenny Burrell album, No Problem, from 1994.
I'm going to have to get a copy of that album because Kenny Burrell has always been one of my favorite jazz guitarists.
So sweet.
So tasty.
Yeah.
Not a lot of flourishes, just very tasty, really good jazz playing, mm-hmm. and nice tone.
Good tune.
It's a fantastic album.
Old Folks.
old folks.
I'd love to know the story behind that title, but that's definitely not roller skating music.
I sent you a link to a story about Ford owners potentially having to keep their vehicle for 2 years. You want to explain this? It's a fascinating story, and I guess this is a follow-up to a previous Ford high-end model.
The GT.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is an interesting problem for manufacturers. And Stellantis had this issue with Dodge a few years ago, too. But when a manufacturer brings out something extremely high performance and extremely limited production, and they anticipate that there will be more demand than there is product, the problem is that people get in and start buying the vehicles to resell them or flip them.
Oh.
And the result is that no matter what the manufacturer charges for it, the open market, even though these vehicles are still coming off the line new, you're seeing these ridiculous markups and these people trading and swapping cars. And makers don't want that to be the story. And makers want people who just want to get the cars to be able to get the cars. So they don't really like the repricing and remarketing of the stuff. So what Ford is doing is with a vehicle called the Mustang GTD, which is a very serious track car, although it is available for street driving. It is street legal. They're going to make about 1,000 of those. It's 815 horsepower. It's a crazy car. And it just did the Nürburgring track. This is a German test track. The fastest ever an American vehicle did it. So this is a totally legit car. Hmm. It's going to be $300,000.
Hello.
That's the Ford price for the car. Yeah.
What?
Maybe more. Maybe more. They're going to make 1,000 of these. And what they're going to do is make owners sign an agreement that they will not resell the vehicle for 2 years.
Wow.
And this will limit the immediate aftermarket trading. And then the story isn't about how much they're retrading for or people not being able to get cars or dealers taking extraordinary mm-hmm. advantage of the situation. The story is more about the car.
Well, there's some history, too, because the last generation Ford GT had a similar rule. And John Cena, I guess, broke the rule. And they took him to court.
And didn't they settle out of court?
He settled out of court.
We don't know what the settlement was.
Yeah. Wow.
There were also, Tesla was trying to get people to sign agreements, too, for the Cybertruck. And early on, we believed that the Cybertruck was going to be an extremely high-demand vehicle and that people would be flipping these. And very briefly, we saw a couple of Cybertrucks listing for like $200,000. Obviously, that's not the case anymore. No one seems to want these vehicles at all. But that was another situation where the manufacturer was looking to try to limit that kind of immediate activity.
Mm. I don't know why, but my mind went to eggs. I'm like, what's this world that we live in where people are selling eggs by the egg? You can get 3 eggs for $2.99. Did you hear that story, Tom?
No.
Yeah, yeah. 3 eggs in a little baggie for $2.99.
But now if you're buying 3 eggs and a Ford.
And a Ford.
Now that's a different question.
I immediately thought about the whole egg shortage, and I thought, wow, this is really a weird world we live in today.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the Waffle House egg tax.
Yeah.
If you get a 50 cents an egg?
Yeah, if you get a 3 egg omelet, you got $1.50 tagged on to your bill.
Wow.
Well, you know, I kind of appreciate that because it's going to be hard for them to get the very product that they rely on. I kind of understand that. I just don't get the, I have 3 eggs you can buy for $2.99. And you know we're going to be coloring potatoes when it comes to Easter. That's a given.
I hadn't thought of it.
Really? And if things get better, I'm still coloring potatoes because I think that's a wonderful idea. I think. Okay. What is coming up on your podcast? People can catch you live on Mondays, and then your podcast drops the next day. What's coming up?
I'm so excited. The little kid in me is so excited. Monday, Tuesday, we are talking to the folks at Ford about police cars.
Ooh.
Ford has updated we don't call it an Explorer. We call it the Ford Pursuit vehicle. but we all know it's an Explorer. But it's a very good police car, apparently, because they own that market. So we're talking to the folks at Ford about their police cars and how you get them and what they're like and why they're different from the vehicles on the road. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Do all police departments go with the Ford, and would they be getting the pursuit?
A significant amount of them have been.
I think Ford has something like 80 or 90% of the market.
Really?
There are some markets where they like the Chevy Tahoe. And the Tahoe has some advantages, especially that it's very durable up front. So for things like curb hopping or off-road use, you're going to find the Tahoe is probably the better choice.
What was it, Indiana and or Alabama that were using black Dodge Chargers for a while?
Charger was pretty popular, and the 5.7-liter Hemi was up to the task, but that vehicle was discontinued.
When my dad was pulled over in Alabama, he said, it was the coolest car. And I go, wait a minute, Dad, you were pulled over. What's the story? I know, but the car was amazing. I'm like, Dad.
It was a black Dodge Charger that had been.
You're kind of bearing the lead there, you know. You got stopped. Well, I just got a warning because I told the guy how much I loved his car. I'm like, were you racing him? Was that the problem?
The blatant plug light has gone off. So if people want to follow you, where should they do that and what should they look at?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. You should download the podcast, but if you just want to stream it, you can do that right there on our homepage. Plus, I recently did a 5-minute review of the Camry on the podcast. So it's a bonus episode. It's one episode to go. But if you just want a quick 5-minute review of the Camry, listen to that.
Well, let me sneak in this question from a listener. Are Camrys, the new Camrys, readily available to your knowledge?
There is the weirdest thing going on at Toyota where they don't seem to be acknowledging some amount of product shortage. But Toyota is the last company out there, the last car maker, that seems to still be catching up with supply after COVID. It's just because the products are so popular, they haven't been able to keep up with demand. So RAV4s, Camrys, I think the Highlander, that's the vehicle, and the Grand Highlander, short supply right now. Mm. They're out there. You can find them, but not as easily as other vehicles.
Okay. Well, and I'm officially losing my voice. I think I've got an hour.
I think you are, yeah.
I've got an hour left to me. Tom, the crazy thing was a listener who asked if I had laryngitis. This was hours ago, and I said to Steve, well, that's crazy. I'm fine. And then
I didn't notice anything until after that listener had asked.
I'm like, whoa, what were they listening to? Well, how did they pick up on this? Well, anyway.
And you can follow Tom on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys.
Have a good week. Bye-bye
now.
You
too.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Brian Setzer. Not one of his more well-known songs, but I picked that particularly because it shows his flexibility from jazz to rock to whatever. And then you probably know Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats. And in more recent years, he's been doing a lot of things with his big band. I was stunned when earlier this week I saw a post he did on his Facebook page where he announced that he's been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and is currently unable to play guitar. He said that he first noticed the effects of this condition late last year while on the road with his band. As the trip reached the end, he said, my hands were cramping up. He said, I've since discovered that I have an autoimmune disease. I can't play guitar. There's no pain, but it feels like I'm wearing a pair of gloves when I try to play. And he is optimistic. I guess he's going to be checking in with the Mayo Clinic.
Yes, he lives very close to the Mayo Clinic, a Mayo Clinic, he said. And he said the good news is he couldn't hold a pen and he couldn't tie his shoes. But he has been able to do those two tasks. But when he picks
up... He's getting to the point where he can now start to do those tasks.
Yeah, by picking up a guitar and trying to play, it's like he's wearing gloves.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
The closest I ever came to anything like that was many years ago when all of a sudden my hands started cramping up. I'll cut to the chase. A friend suggested, why don't you try some fish oil? And it doesn't work for everybody. I now take regularly roughly 3 fish oil capsules, but it's a particular kind of fish oil.
Yes. It has 3 numbers with it.
It's like 3, 6, 9 or something like
that.
And it took about a month or so, but gradually my fingers loosened up.
Yeah.
And now I take it every day, and I can play with no pain. But this is a different situation that Brian is dealing with. And
I hope he tells us at some point what the autoimmune disease is, because there's so many autoimmune diseases. I'm thinking, what could this be? Unless this is a case of they're trying to figure it out.
And that, sadly, is the case with many autoimmune diseases.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who is dealing with many autoimmune diseases.
Because oftentimes one will result in another.
Because your autoimmune system is cattywampus.
Julian, you got that? Cattywampus, his favorite word.
And with a lot of these things, the best doctors can do is treat you for it.
Mm-hmm.
There are many autoimmune diseases that don't have a specific cure, but there are forms of treatment that can make them better.
Yeah, tolerable.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are many, many people listening to us tonight that go, oh, I've got 2. I've got 3.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I have 1.
Last time we saw Brian Setzer, we were backstage with him and then on stage with him at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville for one of Muriel Anderson's All-Star Guitar Nights. It was the tribute to Duane Eddy.
To Duane Eddy.
Yeah.
Remember, we got to stand in the dark stairwell with him.
Yeah.
And I was so excited because I could get close to that fabulous hair. He has this great big hair. And I was like elbow to elbow with him, and I'm just gazing at him in this dark stairwell.
And I could get close to his 6120 guitar and Duane Eddy. 6120 guitar. So
we were happy.
Yeah, it worked.
Well, we'll keep you posted on that situation. And it's sad because he's had to put on hold any touring that he was planning on doing this year.
Yeah. But Rob, you say you saw him?
Yeah, we saw him up at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan.
Oh, I bet that was a great place.
It was so good. I don't know if you've been there. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
I love that venue. I think it's one of the best venues that you're going to find up north. And I'm glad that they get a lot of good shows, and I find myself there a lot, so I appreciate that.
Well, remember when he brought his whole band for the Christmas show to the Chicago Theater?
Yeah.
And people were calling us after the show. They said, we don't even know how they got paid. There were so many people on stage.
Yeah.
Like, how could you pay this man, for all these people that were touring with him?
Yeah. And when he first started doing that, there were so many people that told him, you're not going to make money with it. And he said, I want to try it.
Yep.
And he was a classic case of a guy who started out with early rockabilly, rock and roll. He was really influenced by Cliff Gallup, who was Gene Vincent's original guitar player. And then he morphed that into other rockabilly things, rock and roll, and then this big band, because there is a real relationship. A lot of people don't realize this, but there is a real relationship between rockabilly guitar and jazz guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of country music has kind of a jazz feel to it. Some of the country big bandish things.
Do you know that we're in the last hour of the show? Maybe I got enough voice to take me through the last hour of the show. We've got so many things that we want to sneak in here, and we got a couple little surprises. Oh, I want to talk about loyalty to products, too, because of this crazy post a friend of mine put on Facebook the other day. Heinz ketchup, Hunt's ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
More on that story in this final hour of the show here on WGN.
little girl. The sadness will leave your face as soon as you've won your fight to get just as done. Some days, little girl, you'll wonder what life's about, but others have known few battles are won alone. So you look around to find someone who's kind, someone who is fearless like you. The pain of it will ease a bit when you find a man with true grit. One day you will rise and you won't believe your eyes. You'll wake up and see a world that is fine and free. Though summer seems far away, you'll find the sun one day.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, continuing our education of Julian into the world of Glen Campbell.
That sounds like a movie title, The Education of Julian.
This is the title song from the movie True Grit. There were two versions of True Grit, both of them very good movies. One of them with John Wayne. That's the one this is from, because Glen Campbell was also in this with John Wayne. You need to watch the movie. You need to listen to more Glen Campbell music.
And that song makes me realize he was a master at enunciation.
Yeah.
While singing, it doesn't sound fake, but you understand every word he's saying.
Yeah.
A lot of folks said thank you for playing Glen Campbell tonight. It's sweet to hear him on the radio.
We're gonna play a little more.
Yeah. Well, there was a post that came up on my Facebook feed the other day, and I had to save it because I thought, you're kidding me. My neighbor asked to borrow ketchup. Can you imagine? Hi, can I borrow some ketchup? That may be the weirdest thing in the world to ask to borrow, but yes.
It's right up there.
She said, I know a neighbor, and yes, it didn't shock me, but she gave me attitude because I only had Hunt's ketchup and not Heinz ketchup. So I pulled it back. And I refused to give it to her.
See, that's at the point where I would have pulled it back, but I would have popped the top open and I would have squeezed it right on her nose.
You would have booped her nose with it, right?
Yes.
She said, so I pulled it back. I refused to give it to her. And now we have an altercation, which she has taken to the neighborhood app. Now, that neighborhood app can be helpful, but it can also be a cesspool of complainers.
Yeah.
She has taken this to the neighborhood app. She said, what I'm saying is we are living in the stupidest timeline in history.
Yep. Yep. No argument.
And then I found myself thinking, well, I wouldn't go borrowing ketchup, but I would never, ever want Hunt's ketchup. Never. It has to be Heinz. I've actually been known in a restaurant to ask them if they don't have good ketchup if they bring out the Hunt's. I'm like, no.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and having worked many years in restaurants, one of the worst jobs in the world, and I just shared this with you the other night, was marrying ketchup bottles. Egads, what a chore. Julian, do you have any idea what I'm talking about, marrying the ketchup bottles?
Like you're adding one to the other?
Yep.
Good.
Yep. At the
either
end,
that or you bring the minister and you...
The end of the night, you have to walk. We'd have to walk around and collect all the ketchup bottles and then pour them so that you get full bottles. Like, ooh.
When I worked at Starbucks, we did that with the caramel.
Did you really?
We had those little... but you would literally pour it into it and then just squeeze out as much as you could, toss the bottle, and that was it.
Wow. It was an awful task, wasn't it? Because I just felt like this doesn't feel sanitary. It doesn't feel right.
It feels worse with ketchup because that's a fruit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a fresh. It has to stay fresh.
Yeah. Do you put your ketchup in the refrigerator or leave it out?
Yeah,
I do too. Because at restaurants I worked at, they didn't put them in the refrigerator, which was also troubling to me. Oh, but we go through so much of it, it can't go bad. Really? Of course, this was before we knew about things like salmonella and stuff like that. Back in the 1800s, before we knew about that bacteria known as salmonella. Do you have a loyalty to to products? Like, it has to be.
Yeah, Heinz like ketchup all the way.
Really? You too?
Heinz ketchup.
How about mayo?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Because we're only Miracle Whip in our house.
I love Hellman's. But I've had Miracle Whip, and I like it.
It's different.
It's very different.
Yeah, it's what you're raised on, though.
When you put it in tuna, we do with tuna, some eggs, hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And you don't really taste a difference.
That's true, yeah. And the consistency is the same.
Yeah.
But listen to us talking about food. Surprise. Are you?
After 1 o'clock, without fail.
Yep.
Guess what we have waiting for us at home?
It has been in the crock pot since we left, because it takes 8 hours in the crock pot.
It's a pot roast with potatoes and carrots and onions and brown gravy.
Nope.
And the house is going to smell so good.
Turn off her mic, please.
It's really going to be good. And Steve said, I think I can smell it in here.
Yeah.
We're like fixated on it. Well, you were very particular about like blades, razor blades. I had to shop for your brand of blades because I said to you, they're not carrying them anymore. They don't make them anymore. And you would think that people who make razor blades would make them coming out their ears because they make a fortune on them.
Because now there are so many disposable razors. Just buy this disposable razor. No, I have a razor. It's a good razor. I just want the blades. That's all I need.
And I think I finally found them online at Walmart.
Yeah.
No one else was carrying them. So I bought a whole bunch of them because I said they must be thinking they're going to stop making them. And that would not be good.
I think you bought like 10 packs something like that.
And
I'm good for the next year at least.
It was actually pretty reasonably priced too, because I think it's obscene when you run into the grocery store to get a pack of razor blades. Number one, they're locked up, and it's understandable because it's not uncommon for them to cost you $30-$35 for a small pack of razor blades.
What was the story, I want to say about a week or two ago, where some drugstores and some other stores are going to stop locking things up, but you will have a card. You will have like a membership card. You come in, you will
wave this card.
You insert the card, but you will be a member. They will know who you are and how many things.
I love that.
I think it's an interesting idea.
Because I get so frustrated when I walk into the store and
there's one person in the store, so it takes forever to get them to come over and
get the key. Or you have to find them. It was worse in California when we were out in Pasadena. I could not believe a quick trip to Target. You guys were waiting outside for me. Yeah. It took forever because it was such a big store. Okay, you got to find somebody.
It was a wonderful Target store.
Oh, but my gosh. You want soap, shampoo, razor blades, all these toiletries. They were in different places with different people that they had to call to come and open them up for you. And it must have hurt their sales, I have to believe.
But that was the case. I remember you went and you bought a particular product. And when we got it home, and I liked the product, but it says something like compare to blah, 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 blah. And I thought, okay, well, why do I want to compare this to this? Why don't I just go to the original product?
Yeah.
So I went to the product they were comparing themselves to, and I liked it better, and that's the one that I now use.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. A listener says, it's a shame that both Heinz and Hunt's have high fructose corn syrup, if that is a concern to you. Actually, I get Heinz ketchup without high fructose corn syrup. You can get it without high fructose corn syrup. It's interesting. A lot of products you can find nowadays will be labeled. They will offer it. And a lot of people want to have that high fructose corn syrup. But we have a doctor friend who said that is the problem with the American diet is the high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that's doing us in. Okay. Let's eat a cracker and then we'll come back on the other side here on WGN.
Well, it's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt
that makes
here.
Makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag sweet, rolled up, stashed behind your couch.
It's nice. See, this and is part of the education of Julian,
forgotten words which is not an X-rated movie.
That's Johnny Cash. That is not Glenn Campbell.
So I looked it up. Said they're both in it. By the but I'll find the one that's just Glenn.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, wait, because I've never heard this
okay, let's,
duo.
Let's hear Glenn come in.
It's not clinging to the rocks.
Sounds like it's a whole lot of Johnny.
Maybe Glenn is playing guitar on it, but...
Well, it's funny because I mentioned earlier one of the great performances on the Glenn Campbell show was him and Johnny Cash performing together.
Okay, you think you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, this is all part of... bear with us, folks. This is part of Julian's education.
Finally tuned show.
Hit it.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
Sounds a little like he's in the basement singing.
A little bit. I think
and
it's an alternate
I'm
version.
Not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind.
Okay, we're just going to have to buy you a Glenn Campbell's Greatest Hits album to get the right version.
Yeah.
But that reminds me of the guy who wrote that was John Hartford,
right?
Who was a Chicagoan, and we last saw John Hartford when we were doing a remote for this radio station on North Avenue Beach.
Oh, that's right.
It was a...
Wasn't it the Aaron Water Show?
I think it was Aaron Water Show. It was a Saturday broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that
what
must
the heck
have been,
was he doing there with a banjo?
I don't remember why he was there.
That was kind of weird.
And I recall that we liked him, but it was a kind of an odd interview.
Well, I think he felt like a fish out of water, standing around with a banjo.
With the airplanes and overhead, and we're describing the Aaron Water Show. And and here's John Hartford. What?
Yes. See, that was one of those many moments in our 40 years at this radio station, celebrating our 40th anniversary tonight. Well, celebrating our anniversary, I'm going to do something, because this is a finely tuned show. We did not talk about this off the air.
Okay.
All right. Coming up, of course, we will have our last caller, and... that's something we do every week. But because it is our 40th anniversary, our promotions department said, we would like to give you some goodies to give away to celebrate your anniversary. Mm-hmm. If you are
to keep us for the next 40 years.
That's right. If you're a golfer, you probably know the Chicago Golf Show, presented by CDGA at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, is coming on the 28th of February through March 2nd. It's a very big deal. Free golf lessons, bargains on clubs and shoes and apparel, and you can get your tickets at chicagogolfshow.com. We have packs of tickets, and if you're a golfer, I don't want those tickets to go to waste. I would like to celebrate our 40th by giving you those tickets. So if you're a golfer or there's someone in your family that's a big golfer and they're excited about this show, we have a couple pairs of tickets to give away, and let us do it, okay?
How do we want to do that? Just the...
312-981-7200. Okay. Come up with a trivia question.
Or how about, let's keep it simple, because we want people who really want to do the
golf. Yeah.
How about just the first two callers?
Yes. Okay.
Okay,
make
we'll
it
keep
simple.
It simple.
Yes.
So first two callers at 312-981-7200.
Wait, what is, Bob's in the room here. He's got the Zamboni sitting outside the studio. What, Bob?
Well, it's a golf thing.
Four?
Yes.
As in F-O-R-E?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know what?
One, four, you know.
You should have come to the programming meeting.
Yeah.
We would have talked about these things.
You know how carefully we researched this show.
I guess I should have been in the car, huh?
Yes. You should have been. Somebody said, how do you work on your show? And I said, we're together all the time. Everything we do, we go, oh, write that down. We'll talk about that on the show. And that's the way it's always been. Remember, we talked the other day about the fact that there was a time when we were doing regular movie reviews on the show, and we would go to the movie,
yep,
and we would not tell each other what we thought of the movie that we saw.
Because we wanted it to be spontaneous.
It. Yeah, save it for the radio. And I'm like, So I'm calling my friend saying, I got to talk to somebody about this movie. I can't tell Steve yet. Right?
And I remember one of the few times that I violated that was Natural Born Killers.
That's right.
Because 10 minutes into that, I knew I was going to hate that movie.
Yep. And I said, we have to stay, otherwise we can't criticize it.
So we stayed, and I was right. I hated that movie. Awful movie.
And to this day. In fact, you mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and a listener texted and said, well, you guys are the Natural Born Thrillers, which I really liked. That's t-shirt material.
That works.
Yes. And we talked earlier about the fact your brother's going to join us next week to talk about his choice for Oscars. And there was one movie in particular that he was so upset that he had spent a couple of hours.
I've rarely heard Lee this negative about any movie. He loves movies.
We got texts from people that said, I think it is, and they were right. Yes.
Really?
Because they felt the same way. And they can't believe the number of Oscar nominations for this movie, they said, was just despicable, just awful, a waste of good film.
I believe we have our two callers, our golfers. And you know where this is weird, where my mind is going with golf?
Where?
Where we just found out someone who is a very avid golfer. We've been watching Ryan Seacrest do Wheel of Fortune, and Vanna White apparently is an avid golfer.
Yeah. Yeah, she said her goal is a hole in one this year.
Yeah.
And she's going to get Ryan Seacrest out on the course, and he's like, I don't know. This doesn't sound good to me. And as the cliche goes, it's a way to ruin a perfectly good walk.
Yeah.
Eek. All right. So our winners were... And again, thank you to our sales department, our promotions department, for giving us tickets to the Chicago Golf Show presented by CDGA at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, February 28th through March 2nd. All kinds of fun things will be happening there.
Okay, do we want to say boo to
Nancy. Yeah, Nancy's hanging on the line.
Real quick, let me jump to Nancy. And Nancy is not our last caller, but Nancy, you're an avid golfer, Nancy?
My sister is. I would love the tickets for my sister.
Oh, God.
She is an absolute avid golfer, and her birthday is coming up, and it would just be super.
Well, good. I'm glad. And it's our way of celebrating our 40th by being able to share this with you, so that's terrific. And where are you calling from, Nancy?
Arlington Heights.
Nice to have you along. Thank you so much. Hang on, Julian. We'll get all the pertinent poop from you, and we'll be sure you get those in time for your sister's birthday.
That's very cool.
Yeah. All right. We're coming up.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. And if you would like to be our last caller,
mm-hmm,
and that means you get to win some goodies. We may have a few other interesting goodies.
Yes.
From the prize list. So if you would like to be our last caller, you don't have to have anything pithy to say.
You know what's happening. We're running out of words.
Yeah. Well, this has been a full show. This has been a long show. It's been a full show.
I've been slaving over a hot microphone tonight.
Bob's going to drive the Zamboni into the studio.
He's waving as he drives by.
And the blue lights are flashing, so it's time for us to get ready and get the heck out of here. If you would like to be our last caller...
312-981-7200. As we say, you don't have to have the answer to life. You can just stop by and say, hey, I'm still awake.
Yeah.
Or I'm making pot roast because you mentioned it and it sounded so good. I'm putting it in the crock pot.
And did you see somebody wants your pot roast recipe?
Oh, geez.
That reminds me.
I know.
This week, we will get some. Oh,
what?
You know what else?
What?
Speaking of things that are going to happen over the weekend, Julian was nice enough to get some of the Ronnie Rice videos done. So this weekend,
we will
be posting some videos. Just be watching our Blue Sky and our blog just check them out, and we'll let you know when the videos are available, and we will make them available, and we'll let Ronnie know they're
yes, he's going to be thrilled because they're...
One of them is the video of Ronnie doing the Rockin' Rabbi, and it's hilarious.
You will actually see me wiping tears because I was trying to keep my mouth shut because... It's the funniest bit in the world, and he does it so brilliantly, and he debuted it on our show spontaneously, like at 2 o'clock one morning on the air, and we said, that's, and he was just riffing as the Rockin' Rabbi, and he just turned it into this great bit, and he did it again for us the other night when he was on the show with us. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll get to our last caller. We'll get the studio cleaned up so that it'll be good for Dean in the morning, and then we're going to go home and have pot roast. So stay with us here on WGN.
It's that time again. We got to say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Lose the time.
Lose the time.
Head on out.
Yep.
So let's go. Yep. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you're real glad I know.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
If you're new to the show, that's Red Peters, the closing song. No, we're not going to play all of it. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube, and you will see why we're not going to play all of it. We love it.
Unless
we've decided that we don't want to go for another 40 years,
and it's our swan song. So if you hear the whole song, that means you're not going to hear us the next week.
Now, why do they call it swan songs?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I shall look it up. It'll send me down the rabbit hole.
Reason to tune in next week to find out why they call it swan songs. And we should mention next week, we don't start at 9. We start at 9:30. And Patrick Crispin will join us. We'll talk about all kinds of computer stuff. And my brother Lee will be joining us. And we'll get his thoughts on the Oscar predictions.
Because he will have seen every single movie that is nominated for an Oscar or many Oscars. And that's where the frustration comes in. But some of them, as I'm sure he will tell us, don't deserve to be nominated for multiple Oscars. Okay. This is our swan song, but not really. This is just our...
See, you're running out of words, too.
Our last caller. It's because my mouth is watering, because I'm really, really thinking about supper when we get home.
Yeah. And we have people who want to know the recipe.
I'm going to put recipes up next week, I promise you. I've got to put up the chicken cobbler.
Right.
I dropped the ball on that one. Something else I made last week, people said, oh my gosh, I got to have a recipe for that.
Yeah.
I made a new thing tonight that you might find interesting. It is chocolate banana bars. So if you're tired of banana bread, these are chocolate banana bars. Julian, yay or nay?
Yeah. Super yay.
Super yay. Okay, so it's worth sharing with the listeners. I will do that. All right, let us go to, I choose number 3. Feels good. And number 3 takes us to Menominee Falls, I understand.
And that will be Jane. Hey, Jane, how you doing?
Oh, I'm so honored to talk with you.
Well, thank you,
Jane. Well, we're honored to talk with you.
Yes.
Why are you up at this hour?
Oh, I listen to you every Saturday night. I work my Saturday night around your show.
Oh,
that's very sweet.
You are the best. Thank you.
And the last time I talked with you, I had just retired after 50 years on my job.
And refresh me, what was
your
job?
Well, same job, same employer, 44 years full-time, 6 years part-time. I worked for a father and son doctors.
I remember that.
I do, too.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, my gosh. Because people are saying to us, 40 years, you've got... Yeah, but you had 50 years with the same... You could tell stories. I remember we talked about that. The things that you had seen change in that period of time.
Changed. They have over 100 people now, 4 offices, 8 doctors.
Wow.
There was 4 of us and 2 doctors, 1 office.
Amazing.
Yeah. I am going to be married 50 years this year, too.
Good.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats.
So lots to celebrate.
Yes.
But I have to just quick tell you, my folks were born and raised in Chicago, and shortly before I was born, they got transferred to Milwaukee, and we only listened to WGN all my growing up years.
Oh.
So you literally grew up listening to us, right?
Oh, yes, and the Chicago Tribune was delivered every day. Oh, yes.
Yes.
But do you remember Franklin McCormick?
Of course.
Sure. Of course.
Franklin McCormick, the torch is burning.
Yes, we listen to that all the time.
Yep.
But I enjoy you better.
Well, thank you. There are still, you can find it online. Go to YouTube.
Really?
And there are still some recordings of Franklin McCormick. In fact, he also put out a couple albums that I believe are still available,
really?
Too.
Yeah.
Where he read some poetry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Albums. Okay.
Yeah. And basically, he was doing a program for people who were in bed. Because I remember when we started 40 years ago, we said, you know what? This world is alive in the middle of the night. There are people working in hospitals and working third shift. So we're going to do radio for people who are awake, not sleeping.
That's a whole other audience.
Yes.
And we've really seen that audience change over the years that we've been doing this.
Sure. Sure, because
we a few years ago,
we literally had two, sometimes three audiences. You had the people who were tuning in after they had finished their day and they were winding down. They're going to go to bed. Then you had the audience that got up at 2 a.m. to go to work at 5. And then you had the 4 o'clock people. And so it was really interesting.
And then the 4 o'clock people turned into the 3 o'clock people.
Yeah.
As
earlier and earlier.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and
my weekend is incomplete unless I hear your beginning song, you know, your introduction song.
Oh, thank you.
We were in the car with some people on Saturday night, and all of a sudden I realized you were going to be coming on the air, and I couldn't get the station changed fast enough, and I started singing. I thought these people were going to die.
Oh, bless your heart. That's really sweet.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So what's on your...
40 years is such a challenge. I mean, that's such a milestone.
Yeah, it is. Sadly, it's not very common for people to stay with the same company for many years.
And for some people have asked... one of the reasons we have stayed with this company, they wanted us to come back full time. Then it was more than a year's worth of conversations we had with them, and we said, you know, we're really enjoying our life right now. And they said, but they said, well, could we talk you into at least one day a week? And we said, okay, if you allow us to do
both worlds.
Yep.
Well, and they agreed that we could do whatever we wanted to do. So that's why there's music, there's computers, there's cars, there's all kinds of stuff.
Florida sometimes.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll be doing that in about a month.
Right.
Oh, are you lucky? Are you lucky? Oh, my gosh. It's just so wonderful talking to you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, it's so nice to talk to you because it's been a while since you retired.
A year ago in October, mm-hmm. I retired.
What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Going out to breakfast with some friends tomorrow, and I belong to a service organization. We have our meeting on Monday, and I'm co-chairperson for a fair we're putting on, so I've got a lot of
Irons
in the fire.
Yeah. Well, we are going to send you an official WGN radio logo t-shirt.
They're very cool t-shirts.
Liz, you need to be wearing one of those. And we're also going to kick in our Steve and Johnny Life After Dark CD. You will probably hear songs that you were listening when we had these people on our show live over the years.
They're all live performances from our show.
Right. And so
I can hardly wait.
You will get a copy of that as well. And thank you so much for listening and for checking in, Jane. It's a pleasure catching up with you.
As I said, it was an honor to talk with you. You go home and have your chocolate banana pudding, and that sounds fabulous.
But pot roast first.
Pot roast, that's even better, the combination. Have a nice evening, nice day tomorrow or today.
Thank you.
You do this, and hold on for a second, and Julian will get some information from you off the air. This has been a fast five hours.
Yes.
And I still have the feeling there are things that we wanted to do that we didn't get to, so that's a reason to come back next week. And next week we'll be at 9:30, not 9 o'clock. And Patrick Crispin will join us. We'll talk about some computer problems and other cyberspace stuff. My brother Lee will join us, and he will give us his Oscar picks.
And if you are like Jane and you'd like to schedule your day around our show, 2 weeks from tonight we'll have a super short show because of a late Blackhawks game. So Tom Appel will actually be joining us again in 3 weeks.
And over the weekend, sometime tomorrow or Monday, we will get the Ronnie Rice videos up.
Yes.
And the cute blonde will be adding some
recipes. And right now you've got the video of the guy that's demonstrating the various front wheel, rear wheel, all wheel drive video on our page. Our pictures on our way to work tonight. Check out our pictures of our love shack and our decorations for Valentine's and some fun stuff there. So if you haven't checked it out, you can go to our blog or check us out on Facebook.
Thank you so much for listening. And now we're starting the next 40 years, right?
How about it?
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.